Well, good afternoon. I'm going to wrap the hammer here, and nobody is invited to come to the table, so can you not hear? Really? All right, call the subcommittee back to order. The next agenda item will be the approval of minutes held July 11th in Pahrump. Everyone have a chance to review the minutes.
Move to approve.
Got a motion from Senator Hardy to approve. Do I have a second? A second from Assemblyman Oscarson. I have the motion. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Motion is unanimous. Thank you. Next, we will work to our work session. Subcommittee members, again, you will find in your work session documents a whole lot of recommendations, some of which we aired significantly this morning. But move ahead. And the first recommendation is recommendation one, the cloud seeding. And Alyssa, you want to go ahead and walk through these for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Alyssa Keller, Subcommittee Policy Analyst. I have a few introductory remarks. The work session document has been prepared by the chair and staff of the subcommittee and is designed to assist the members in determining which recommendations will be forwarded to the 2017 session of the Nevada Legislature and what other actions the subcommittee will endorse. Each item in this document may be subject to further discussion, refinement, or action. It's important to note that the inclusion of recommendations does not imply the support of the subcommittee. Rather, these possible actions are compiled so members may review them to decide if they should be adopted, changed, rejected, or further considered. The members may vote to send as many subcommittee statements or letters as they choose. However, the subcommittee is limited to 5 bill draft requests, including requests for the drafting of legislative resolutions. The recommendations have been grouped by topic and are not preferentially ordered. Although possible actions are identified for each recommendation, the subcommittee may choose to recommend any of the following actions: draft legislation, draft a resolution, send a letter, or include a position statement in the final report of the subcommittee. Please note that during the drafting process this fall, prior to the legislative session, specific details of approved requests for legislation may be further clarified by subcommittee staff in consultation with the chair or others as appropriate. And finally, please be aware that as the subcommittee policy analyst with the Legislative Council Bureau, I neither support nor oppose any of the recommendations to be considered by the subcommittee. And if it pleases the chair, I will move on to the first recommendation for consideration.
Please do.
The first recommendation before the subcommittee is regarding funding for cloud seeding. 2 alternatives are recommended. Recommendation 1A is for the subcommittee to request the drafting of a bill to appropriate $740,250 per year, or $1,480,000 for the fiscal year 2017-2018 biennium to cover 75% of the estimated cost for cloud seeding activities in Nevada during the 2017 and 2018 winters using fully automated generators within the following areas of Nevada: the Upper Walker River watershed, the Upper Truckee River Lake Tahoe watershed, Mount Charleston, and cloud seeding by aircraft in the Upper Walker River Basin, the Upper Carson River Basin, and the Upper Truckee River and Lake Tahoe Basins, and utilizing manually operated ground-based generators within certain areas of the Humboldt River Basin, and direct the State Department of Conservation and Natural Resources to develop and operate a matching grant program requiring at least a 25% match to which local stakeholders could apply for funds to undertake cloud seeding programs. As an alternative to this recommendation to request an appropriation, recommendation 1B is to request the drafting of a bill to amend the statutes to expand the allowable uses of the existing grant program for water projects, otherwise known as the AB 198 grant program, or the program to finance water projects, to include a cloud seeding program as an allowable use of grant funds. These recommendations were submitted by Mike Balfman of the Humboldt River Basin Water Authority, and they are included at tab A in the work session document. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Alyssa. Any thoughts from the committee? We did have some testimony I'm sorry. Yes, please do. I believe Mr. Walker's the only one. If you want it from a presenter, or just back to the committee?
Just back to the committee, Mr. Chairman, okay. if I may. And I'm not as familiar with the AB 198 grant program as I probably should be, but I'm concerned that things that may be in the pipeline to get done through that program might not get done if we allow this money to be used that way. I'm not sure how much they're funded at now and what their balance is. There's a lot of questions in allowing them to use those dollars if we're not sure where it actually is right now. So can we?
Well, from my perspective, I agree with you, but we do have Mr. Walker. Maybe he would care to comment, but the bottom line is the AB 198 is typically infrastructure, and again, if we take $1.5 million out of it, it could be an impact. But Mr. Walker, any comment?
Yes, for the record, Steve Walker. I'm pinch hitting for Mike Bachman. I can comment. I am on the board for one of the board members for financing water projects. The AB 198 program has been inactive during the recession period because the state of Nevada lost bonding capacity. It will, as of a meeting in July, there will be $1 million into the AB 198 program. In the meantime, most of the functions of that program, which deals with small water systems, arsenic compliance, improving water supply to rural communities, has been funded through through loans from the EPA, and in communities where income is less than the average income, those loans are forgiven. And so that's kept that action going on. I am not going to be an advocate as a member of the board for that position. I just provided the information.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Steve. Any other comments from the committee? My thoughts are cloud seeding is what it is. You've got to have a weather system to seed before you have any real impact. But Senator Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So are these mutually exclusive? In other words, many times what we'll do is we'll say, allows to have gifts, grants, or donations. Do we need to tie it to 198 exclusively? Can we use 198 as a vehicle as well as any other grants that may be given? And do we want to can I put them in one BDR? The drafting of the bill, have Finance Committee tell us, no, you don't have the money, but yes, you can use the gifts, grants, and donations in addition to AB 198.
Ms. Clarkson.
For the record, Heidi Clarkson with the Legislative Council Bureau. Senator Hardy, is your question directed as to whether the committee must choose between A or B?
That is definitely part of it.
No, the committee would not necessarily have to choose between A or B. They were split out this way because they were separate recommendations. And the committee can choose to adopt one or the other or sort of change them as you see fit. So the first one is an appropriation, and there's a specific dollar amount asked for. You certainly could change that dollar amount. In addition, recommendation 1B is to expand a grant program that's currently in statute. So you could do both. You could have an appropriation authorized, and you could also change the term, the statutes related to the grant program, so that would be another mechanism to help pay for the cloud seeding.
So if I may.
Please.
So can I have my cake and eat it too by having AB 198 exist and be part of that grant, as well as any other grants, gifts, and donations?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay, you're looking to seek the appropriation and include the 198 grant funding as a yes. caveat to that.
And I know that we're going to be talking about money, but if we don't ask, we won't get, and if we don't leave the net big enough to accept, then I think we haven't done our job. So I would put the two together. I would put the three together. I would put the appropriation and the AB 198 and any other gifts, grants, and donations.
Mr. Ford.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Further to his point, I preferred 1B standing solo because I think it provides a little more flexibility with regard to the types of programs that might be available to this. Combining them all might create some unforeseen circumstances or situations that could defeat the ultimate notion, which is to allow some cloud seeding to take place. And so I don't think I can support combining them all, but I can support a 1B approach.
And how about a 1A?
You know, 1A, but 1A is limiting, right, because it only talks about the money for the cloud seeding particularly. I just think 1B is a little more expansive and it can encompass 1A in a sense. The problem we've always had, as you know, Senator, is getting folks to vote for revenue to pay for stuff.
Right.
And that's the issue. So if at the end of the day, if people in this room need to understand that if we vote for something like this, then you're going to have to hold your senators and some persons accountable to vote for revenue to support it. That's the issue. It's not so much the concept. It's the monetary requirement, and that's the concern that I would have. And I want to bring that up specifically so that we know that we'll address that. I do appreciate Senator Hardy indicating that we have to ask or we don't receive. But beyond asking, we have to be willing to vote for it once the request is accommodated.
Mr. Chairman, I concur with Senator Ford. I can work with 1B because I can take a look at that grant program. Because of the bonding issues that are happening right now, if there is money there that could be used, but I also agree with you, you've got to have weather before you do this. My concerns is not only just an appropriation, we're asking folks to come in with flat budgets right now and even 5% cuts. So we're talking about, it's not a lot of money. Some people would call it budget dust, but you pile up enough dust and you get real dirt, and that's when you can start to grow things. So, and the provision in here that, cloud seeding activities in 2017, we will be in session in 17. There will be no money for them in 17. We cannot appropriate any dollars before we finish the session. So there would be no money available until 18 anyway. So I would support 1B as it is written and think that that might be a good vehicle for the future to address this issue. And I'm not a big cloud seeding person, so I'm not convinced it works, but given the opportunity, I think that's the best alternative.
I'm fine with that, but I would like to clarify, 2017 fall winter would be a, from November on is we should have it in place, and that would be Senator Hardy.
I'm going to retract my motion because I can see where the clouds are forming on this one.
All right.
So, Mr. Chair, if you'll entertain a motion to adopt 1B, or I don't know the right phraseology, are we suggesting a BDR be drafted to encompass what 1B delineates? Is that a good enough motion?
Yes. Clearly, if maybe there's an appropriation, a little more money going to the AB 198 grant program, that's fine as well. So we do have a motion. Do I have a second? Let me get the second if there is one. Okay, we've got a second from Assemblyman Oskarson. Discussion from Senator Hardy.
So does this motion include any other gifts, grants, or donations in addition to AB 198?
The answer is yes.
Okay, you're fine with that then? All right, and then on the other side of it, as far as recommendation 1A, clearly if... The parties probably need to be looking around to see if they can find a legislator that's going to vote for the tax plan to introduce the bill. So, all right. Thank you. With that, no further discussion. We've got a motion and a second. Ms. Keller, you understand the motion. We're fine. All right. I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chairman votes aye for the record. Anyone, any nay? Show it unanimous. Thank you. Okay, Ms. Keller, if we can go to recommendation number two.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next recommendations for subcommittee action relate to domestic wells and domestic use. Recommendation 2A is to request the drafting of a bill to provide that at times of curtailment by priority by the Office of the State Engineer, Division of Water Resources, only outdoor use withdrawals from domestic wells are curtailed and indoor use remains authorized. This was recommended by Jason King, State Engineer, and was discussed at several meetings of the subcommittee. The State Engineer's written recommendation is included at tab B. Alternatively, recommendation 2B is to request the drafting of a bill to provide that at times of curtailment by the Office of the State Engineer, only withdrawals from domestic wells for outdoor use are curtailed with an accepted allowance for outdoor watering of pets and livestock. This accepted allowance to the State Engineer's recommendation was submitted by Nye County Water District at tab C and Utilities, Inc. of Central Nevada, Pump Utility Company, and Desert Utilities in tab D.
Thank you, Ms. Keller. Comments from the committee? I guess given after 3.5 hours of testimony here, nobody wants to stick their head out. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, I think when we start taking something that somebody has been using away, it's problematic. And so I'm looking at ABC under 3 and 4 and 5. And I look at all of these almost lumped together instead of separately. And so having heard that we can lump things together, that's kind of how I would be interested in doing this. It's my understanding that the state engineer can now curtail water rights. And knowing that the state engineer, I say knowing, I'm looking for a head shake, knowing that the state engineer can currently curtail water use in the domestic well world, then it would behoove us to give some legislative oversight to that so that we do not get in trouble with taking things away that people have used. So I like the concept of being aware of the new things, particularly the new wells being built, the new, although not permitted, but semi-permitted wells to be drilled. I think we need to, first of all, make sure that we don't over-appropriate by doing new things. At the same time, give some jurisdictional ability to understand what's happening with the curtailment that could happen now without limitations, as I understand it, looking for a head shake, and therefore give some curtailment boundaries or fencing so that the state engineer can work within something that is, quite frankly, more than 0.5 acre feet. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. And I'm not going to make a motion because I got rained on last time.
Thank you. Ms. Carlton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I understand, Senator, it's happened to me many, many times, so been there. I can relate. I'm leaning towards B, to be honest with you, because I think right now the system that the state engineer has, under curtailment, he could just basically say, you're done. I mean, we have to give him a little bit of authority, I believe, to make sure that folks can still do the things outside, you know, some of the things outside that they want to do, especially pets and livestock. And I understand the concerns when you add this piece of the puzzle to the other pieces of the puzzle that you're looking at. But I don't see them all as having to all be there. So under two, I am more comfortable with B because under a full curtailment, people would lose more. This gives us a little bit of, and if I'm wrong, I would love to be corrected, but I think this gives the engineer the, and I hate using the word flexibility, but the opportunity to work with people in a curtailment situation. I want to say opportunity to work with them. Otherwise, he'd have to cut them totally off. It's my understanding. So this would open a discussion, and there would be a middle ground in curtailment.
All right. And any other comments before I get on my soapbox?
I may have some after.
Okay. Well, I guess, just because it is a recommendation, and Jason and I have long, I'm looking around to see where he is in the room, long bannered on this. Oh, there he is, front and center, staring me down on the curtailment issue. You know, in my mind, you know, domestics are a different animal from any other. It's not a permitted right. It's attached to the property. It can't be sole transferred. So, I really challenge at the point that we start, even though presently it does appear in statute that he could curtail, but I think it's an automatic, and especially given the attendance here today, you're going to be in court instantly. And so I guess as I look at two, I would prefer that we move ahead into three and just not look at two, and let's talk about some of the options A, B, and C under item three, which does allow for not curtailment, and let's not get into the legal issue of, okay, well, we're going to diminish your, you're going to go from 300, your 1,800 gallons a day down to 600 or 300 or whatever is determined. And let's see if we can really take a long, hard look at new domestics, new growth, and I think with that there comes a lot of other issues. Clearly in my mind, if you had a half-acre foot new domestic well that was at a half-acre foot, and you clearly knew that wasn't going to be adequate because, in my mind, there are urban domestic wells that are attached to an acre and a quarter or less where maybe a half-acre foot, an acre foot is more than adequate. You get into the larger parcels where you've got 5 acre feet or 5 acres, and clearly you've got a milk cow and a few chickens and a saddle horse. And so there's a duty on that domestic then of a half acre foot, an acre foot, whatever ultimately comes out in the legislation. But then I think you have to have the ability then for that person, especially in a rural area, to go out and acquire a water right, additional water rights. But when you have additional water rights and you are transferring them from, say, ag or industrial or wherever you happen to find the guy that had the ag water right, then it's not truly a domestic well anymore because it's got water rights stacked on it. So therefore, you're going to have to change that domestic into some other title, or does it become a rural domestic then because it has additional water rights stacked on it? But, I believe ultimately, folks, as we look at the watershed scenario statewide all over, and again, it's not in 99% of the basins, like I said, aren't impacted with this one way or the other. But, and again, I think we can look at this like alternative B and just throw some of this stuff together and severely over-appropriated basins and designated CMAs, then, you would allow for this different type of well and a different duty on the domestic when someone sent in an intent card to the state engineer, he would either deny it or say, well, no, your duty is going to be a 1 acre foot and or a meter or whatever his requirements were, or sounds without the meter. But and if that wasn't adequate, you wouldn't drill a well. Or if you did want the property and wanted to drill a well and thought, well, I'm going to need at least 3 acre feet because I've got 10 acres here and I'm going to put in some landscaping and a vineyard or who knows what you, and you would have to, then it would be you as the landowner. And again, this is not after the fact. It's you would be looking at this going ahead, then deal with it at that point. See if you could acquire some water rights or not buy the property. But again, I'm just trying to clarify as we move forward with this, but I really, because I'll continue to, I think if we adopt two, we're going to end up instantly in court, even though, and I think even legal will say it's clear, but probably could be litigated whether he has the right to curtail.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate all your knowledge on water law, and I've learned a lot from you, but the way I look at this is currently the state engineer can curtail. So on these wells. So without any options given to him, he would literally be wiping people off the map on this. This allows a subsistence portion of water for them in order to address the issue that is in that curtailment basin. So without this language, I believe we can do more harm when we look at the crisis that some of these basins are going to be going into in the next decade. So I'm just concerned that we could do more harm than good by not trying to protect these folks, at least with indoor water use. And I believe pets and livestock are just as much part of the family structure as the people that live in the house. So I think it's important that we have some options to work with if a basin ends up in crisis. So I understand where you're coming from, but I just think what we have now does more harm in the long run than what this could do. This gives people an option to at least hang in there during the crisis. And if I'm misunderstanding this, but I just feel like we need to have something for them.
Right. And again, we're talking about, you know, statutory change that would come forward through the next session. So, you know, in the interim, the state engineer could, in fact, jump out and start curtailing. But I think we'll get out of session before he gets out of court. So, Mr. Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, what I hear is if we have this applied anew, and if new, then metered, and it would apply only to severely over-appropriated and the CMAs, the critical management areas. My question is, does Pahrump apply to the severely over-appropriated? Is there a definition of that?
Legal?
I would need to ask Jason King of the status of the basin of Pahrump. I don't have that information.
Well, Mr. King, you are one of the subject in this, so in your mind?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jason King, state engineer. I'm being brought up here to answer the question whether or not Pahrump qualifies as a severely over-appropriated basin. Is that the question?
I believe that was the question.
And to Senator Hardy's point, it's not defined in statute. As far as I know, myself and perhaps staff members in the division have informally looked at basins that are 2 to 3 times over-appropriated and called them severely over-appropriated. So in terms of how we internally look at basins, Pahrump is, yes, it is a severely over-appropriated basin. That definition is not found in statute anywhere.
Mr. Chair.
Please, go ahead.
So in essence, we need to do that kind of definition in statute. In other words, we have to give parameters for a potential curtailment of some kind in statute, if nothing else. So if we put this in statute without the definition, that would have some flexibility that we have heard some people don't really like that kind of flexibility.
That's correct. If the committee does not choose to define that term, then I think it would be at the discretion of the state engineer's office as to what exactly that meant.
So we would be, in essence, leaving the state engineer's office out in the wind somewhere trying to decide which would open them up for legal recourse because they are having a definition that may or may not have legislative intent, let alone statute.
I think if the committee decides not to add a definition, that just maintains the status quo as far as there's currently no definition in statute, and the state engineer's office has the discretion to determine these things now. So I don't think it would change anything, but certainly the committee could decide what sort of definition they would like to have in statute, and that would be what the state engineer's office going forward would have to use.
Then if I were going to make a motion, because I've learned not to, I would have something that would say I'd have to decide 2 to 3, so obviously I do split in the middle the baby, and I would do 2.5.
We could probably do that. And Mr. Oskarson, I know you've got a comment.
Thank you. I'm glad you didn't make a motion yet, Senator Doctor. Look, I've listened to this testimony. I've listened to it at home. I've listened to it, the letters that we received. And I understand, I believe I understand, the consternation with all these things and taking away people's rights that they already have, that they're able to water and have nice lawns and take care of themselves and all those kinds of things. I don't like any of them, to be quite honest with you. But if I had to live with something, the 3A and 3B with new and extra super bold typeset, I don't like us locking us down to a number of 0.5 acre feet. And the meter thing just doesn't sit well with me at all right now. So if I had a direction to go, I could go, especially if there was the new component in A and B. The new has to be the emphasis of both of those, in addition to taking out the 0.5 acre feet annually, because I think there's some further discussion that needs to happen with that. I think people have different needs and different requirements in their areas, depending on what they've done and how they've put their, you know, their property together based on the fact that they had 2 acre feet. And so I'm uncomfortable putting a number in there, and I'm uncomfortable with anything to do with meters at this point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Hoskins. I think I just need to clarify the one thing again in 3, and then I'm going to back up to 2, and we need to get that off the table. But in 3, A, B, or C, again, we're talking, I think the key is new domestic, and I think the question was raised earlier today by when we're talking new domestic, that would be one that would require an intent card and clearly a redrill or not maintenance on an old existing domestic wouldn't be considered new in my mind, and I just get looking for the nod. So, again, we're only talking, so technically, if you owned the property and you didn't have that well drilled, at that point, then it would be a new, and you would fall under this application if you were in a severely over-appropriated or critical management area.
Senator, may I?
Please.
I think that's great for Mr. King sitting here, but I think we need to spell that out, because who knows where Mr. King is when some of those things come up, if another engineer may interpret that differently. I think we need to make sure, and Jason, it's nothing, don't take it personal, but I think we need to spell that out, specify that it doesn't apply to a new, you know, a well that needs to be redrilled or one of those kind of things, just like you stated, Senator, because I think that's an important piece of this whole package.
And I know Jason is struggling there, biting his tongue, because before we go any farther, let me walk back to 2. Is there no appetite from the committee on 2 then? Okay, go ahead, please, then. Let's go back to 2, then. Please.
Oh, well, I got a question on 3 that you're talking about.
Okay, but I wanted to look at, unless you're looking at a combination there, I was just, I was hoping I was going to throw this by Jason and no curtailment issue.
Okay, I mean, then I will hold my question. I mean,
okay, on 2, any other questions on 2, or can we just walk by that and not take an action at this time? 2 A and B?
I think we walked by it.
Okay, everyone else?
I disagree, but
okay. Yes, okay.
I think it's a little stormy around those two.
Okay. So we're saying, you know, we went from cloud seeding to storms. Be the first
I think
one.
Y'all are delirious.
All right, let's go to 3 then. I'm just, again, trying to move this center forward.
So I have a question. I'm sorry. Jason King wants to say something.
I would ask the chairman if he would give me some latitude to talk about 2A and B, and if you don't want to, I completely understand, but I do have something to say about it. But it obviously is your call.
Whatever you
committee, mean. It's up to you. You know my thoughts on curtailment, so it's up to the committee. If you have a question on 2 curtailment, go ahead, Senator.
Okay. So I'll just ask my question, and you can see if it fits in within 2 or 3.
Okay.
Both. Okay. Because I think the testimony confused me a bit because we kept talking about the half acre foot. And one of the questions came up, and I agree with the question, where we get half acre in the first place. I understand that in Clark County, as an example, the resident might 0.41 is the acre footage that they might use, and so maybe that's where it came from. But I'm wondering why we go from 2 to 0.5 as opposed to 2 to just 1 even. And so that, I think that speaks to 2 and 3, because in 3 we talk about the 0.5 acre foot. So number one question. Number two question is, how does focusing on 3 only address the current issue? I may have misunderstood this, but when I heard the Hafen the Younger testify, he said that if all of the well owners utilize their 2 acre feet, then we're over-appropriated by 125% or something like that, which without a definition of what over-appropriation means, makes perfect sense to me, that if everybody uses all their water, then there's more water being used than we actually have in the basin. So how does 3, focusing on 3 only, address the current problem? And so that might mean we have to go back and look at 2 as a way to try to address some of the current problems. Does that those questions make sense? And as for the panel, but also, I guess, Mr. King, since he's here.
I'll let Jason go ahead and respond first, but just one quick point I need to make to your point and to Mr. Hafen. You know, the bottom line, it's true. There would be 20,000 domestic wells if they were all in place, and that would be a duty of 40,000 acre feet, which clearly exceeds the perennial yield of the basin. But presently, there's 60,000 acre feet appropriated there, and everybody's going along, and the water table is sustaining. But it's very typical of probably the 56 over-appropriated basins in this state. I mean, we've got more water out in paper. So I guess my answer to that would be, it's not a problem until you start losing water.
Well, and that actually begs the question, right? I mean, why do we want to wait for it to become a problem?
Yeah. Why do we want to wait for it? That's why we're here.
Before we actually start losing water.
Go ahead, Jason.
If we can find a way to fix it now.
Jason King for the record. And, Mr. Chairman, I really do appreciate you allowing me to discuss this more. And, Senator Ford, I believe you're right on point. And Assemblywoman Carlton, I believe you're right on point. I look at 2 and 3 as two separate issues. 2, obviously, is our recommendation, so we're in support of it. And the fact of the matter is, the law as it reads today is that if we have to curtail in a groundwater basin, we do by priority. It's a fact by law that a priority of a domestic well is the date the well was completed. It is a fact that probably over 90% of the domestic wells in the state would probably be some of the most junior rights in a basin that we would be curtailing. So if we have to curtail today, those domestic wells, by law, there's no exception for indoor or outdoor, we would have to cut them off. What we are proposing under 2A, and actually I support 2B, because our office never meant to cut off water into the water, animals outside, so 2B is a better alternate, is to do something for the domestic well owners that's not in law right now. If we have to curtail, they don't lose indoor water use. They don't lose water to their stock or their animals. We need to fix that, because if we're silent on it, obviously that remains. So that, to me, is a different issue than 3. And I just feel like I have to say this after sitting here this morning for a few hours. Like all of you, I heard everything that was said in public comment. Like all of you, I respect everything every one of those individuals had to say. Having said that, I'm astounded. The source of their aggravation is focused at a lot of information that has been spread that is not based in anything truthful that is before this committee. So, again, I respect, I would, if I thought that was what was being proposed in terms of retroactively cutting back domestic wells to a half an acre foot, making them put on a meter for 55,000 meters, I'd be up here and I'd be pretty aggravated too. But that's not what's happening. So I just feel compelled to make that statement. So, moving on from 2B, I think.
But before you move on to 2B, can I jump in right there?
Okay, and I want to jump in. Just one quick one. Now, the half-acre foot, I believe, came from Nye County. And Mr. Oz, do you want to come forward? But I believe that recommendation.
That was the new wells.
Right. On the new wells. Yeah, that was under 3A. Right.
That was for new wells, not retroactive, and that's what Jason is talking about. I mean, this notion that we're going to retroactively curtail to half acre foot.
I thought you asked where the half-acre foot came from rather than another
I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk over the chair. What I meant when I asked that question was not who gave it to me, but where did the number come from? How did we land on a half-acre foot versus an acre foot or even an acre and a half foot? You understand my question?
I believe came from out of the Nye County Water.
So, Mr. Chair, you would like me to answer that?
Yes, please.
So my name is Oz Wickman. Recently, I took over the duties as general manager for the Nye County Water District within the last month. I have been in service to the Water District since it was created in 2007, and I have sat squarely on the sharp end of the point of the domestic well issue since I started in service for the Nye County Water District. The half-acre foot is simply based on the notion, because you do not have meters to measure the actual use of these wells, you drive up and down the street, and you look at the landscaping, and you look at the desertscaping, and you know that those people are clearly not using 2 acre-feet of water because there is nothing to use 2 acre-feet of water on. So this is a local cultural discussion. To try and ground this discussion, the Nye County Water District purchased a small complement of meters. We conduct what we call the voluntary metering program, whereby we went and at our cost, the district cost, the cost of the taxpayers, we installed 13 meters. We've got enough data over a period of time on a little north of half of those that count. That it supports, it's astonishing when you run the numbers across the board. It's pretty amazing. The average use is about a half an acre foot. Now, I'm not asserting that 10 or 15 meters does a proper sample make. It's not. But it's interesting that when we look at the data and we average those out, that it is exactly what the state engineer's office is currently using for the average domestic well use in that basin. I would also like to make sure that to frame this in context, if you have 11,000 domestic wells on the books, clearly not every domestic well is being used day in and day out. You've got rentals, you've got houses that are vacant, you've got lots with a domestic well on them that has no home. So from a management standpoint, we are simply trying to come up with a fair and equitable estimate of what is the actual use. And I would hope that everybody in this room is keying in on the fact that today the domestic well users in the Pahrump Basin are tending their knitting. They are water conscious. They are. But the sad fact is, there is enough land in the Pahrump Basin that you could grow that community to a half a million people. That's without any further direct sale from the BLM. Clearly, the water resources will not support a half a million people in that basin. And clearly, the water resources will not support the drilling of domestic wells in perpetuity in that basin. We are trying and have been very hard, trying to get ahead of this curve before the next boom, before the next economic boom, and frame this discussion and take these tough issues head on before, as you would say, Mr. Ford, before it is a crisis. And I appreciate that forward thinking.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, can I ask?
Please, you've got the mic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So there was a basis, in fact, for the 0.5 acre foot. Let me ask a question about the meters that you were using to come up with that 0.5 acre estimate. Were you looking at lands that had outdoor watering of pets and livestock at the time? Or
so
were you only looking at folks?
We actually tried to do a mix of, and in fact, yeah, some of those folks do have some saddle horses, and we tried to take that into consideration. Saddle horses and a garden and, a lawn and, so, you can drive around town in any town, USA, and you can look at the family that's raising 6 kids, and they've got a big old garden and this useful, constructive people, and they've got some pets and they've livestock. the big garden, a big lawn, big trees, you know that they are using something north of 2 acre feet of water. You know that. You know what it takes to grow a half an acre of lawn. That is very well documented.
So properly read, then, your recommendation is purely prospective, first off. It doesn't touch anybody who currently exists relative to owning a well. It's for new well owners. And you would limit withdrawals from the new domestic wells to 0.5 acre feet. And that 0.5 acre feet is based on, admittedly, not necessarily a representative sample, but a sample nonetheless of what it takes. Even in instances, I know this is a long question, even in instances of the watering of pets and livestock, at the end of the day, that's what your recommendation properly should read like. Is that right?
It is. I think, Mr. Ford, that would be a fair way to frame the discussion.
Okay. Now, let me go back to 2B, because if we were to pursue something, 2B would be that which that I would support as well. Jason, I'm going to say it a little differently than what you said. At the end of the day, if the state engineer is required to go into Nye County and curtail domestic well owners, your only choice right now is to say you're shut off completely.
Right.
You get no water. Your well doesn't work. I mean, I don't care if it works and pumps out the best water in the world. If I have to curtail, you're done. I have to take all your water. Stop you from using all your water. What you're asking for in 2B is, instead of that being the only option for me, if I have to curtail, I want to say I can curtail only withdrawals from domestic wells for outdoor water use is curtailed, with the exception of outdoor watering of pets and livestock.
Yes, that is true. That's accurate.
Which gives them an opportunity to continue using the water as opposed to completely losing it altogether.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's what current existing wells. We're not talking now, in that instance, would this apply going forward as well?
Yes.
It would, but this particularly, as opposed to the half acre foot, this would apply to existing wells.
Senator Ford, Jason King for the record. I'm saying yes, it would, but we should probably look to the legal staff too. If this did become a BDR, there would probably have to be some language that made it clear that it was to be retroactive to apply. But in my mind, absolutely. That's why we're doing it, just to protect
right.
those 55,000 existing domestic wells. But you would need to rely on legal to make sure that it's clear that that's retroactive.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I know Senator Hardy's got a question, but I got a quick comment. And just to be looking at it, and again, I'm looking at 2B maybe being incorporated into 3B so that we talk about curtailment wouldn't occur unless it was in a CMA or a severely over-appropriated, and not, again, I think the point's been made, Jason, we don't know how long, but, you know, a new guy comes in, a new broom sweeps clean, and all of a sudden says, hey, well, I'm going to curtail these guys here because I have the ability now to roll them back to just inside water only. And then, again, to avoid the conflict or the issue, maybe you are in a basin where, you know, they are the water table, i.e. Pahrump, has been lower, is somewhat recovering, but with that capability to curtail, you know, without it being in a true designated basin of some kind, I get a little nervous. You know, clearly the numbers are there, it's over-appropriated, so all of a sudden, well, I'm going to go ahead and go in and curtail these domestics, and that would automatically drop you back to inside water only. I'd like at least some protection there that it had to be shown as whatever definition Heidi comes up with for severely over-appropriated or a CMA before, you know, it actually triggered that. But that's just my thoughts. Mr. Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I have a question for the state engineer. If you're curtailing now for severely over-appropriated or CMA, you're curtailing now, you have to curtail by priority. And so if you curtail in the future, depending on what we do, let's pretend we are using the word curtail, can you curtail by priority? Can we make a curtail by priority with the stipulation that it has to be with the newest, firstest, and the leastest priorities along the same line, but still allow the newest and the have their indoor as well as their animal and their what else was it? Their potted plant and their pet. In other words, can you still do the same? Would you like to do the same thing if you're going to curtail? It doesn't seem fair to me that the oldest and the first priorities are curtailed with the newest priorities.
Jason King, for the record. Senator Hardy, are you specifically just talking about domestic wells, or are you talking about all
domestic
water?
Wells?
Okay. So, again, it's by priority.
Right now.
So yeah, right. So a domestic well owner that drilled his well in 1963 would not be treated any differently than a domestic well owner that was drilled in 2016 if they were all in the pot of curtailment. So if we had to curtail all the domestic well owners, because we have to curtail back to 1950, let's say, all of those domestic well owners post-1950 would be curtailed the same amount. And in what's being proposed under 2B is outdoor water usage only. So the person with the well in 1963 doesn't get outdoor water usage, but the guy with the well in 2013 doesn't get it. Follow me?
Right.
Sir? Yeah. Am I answering your question?
So, no.
No.
It's how I phrase the question that is the issue, not your answer. So how many well owners were there in 1963, domestic? 22.
I don't know.
Let's pretend it's 22. And then the newest ones that came after 1963, they don't have the priority that the ones before 1963 had. So when you curtail, you're curtailing the post-1963 people as opposed to the pre-1963 people. So in our 2B, as it were, when and if we allow the state engineer to curtail, can we not then do the same kind of thing but only curtail the newest ones as to their outdoor water use?
Jason King, for the record. Thank you, Senator Hardy. Sorry, I misunderstood you. So this would have no impact on those pre-1963 domestic wells because they would be in priority. They're not affected at all by any curtailment.
So we would basically be picking on the newest ones in the same way, but in the picking on them, the way you would have to do it now is you'd have to cut off their water.
The way the law is written, right. Jason King, for the record, that is the case.
So
completely.
2B would allow us to allow not their total water cutoff, but their water cutoff only to the outdoor with the exception of pets and animals.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the committee? Ms. Carlton.
I just want to make sure it's perfectly clear that we don't, the word rights was used a couple of times, and domestic wells don't have a water right. So I think we need to make sure the record is very, very clear on that. They get to use water. The water still belongs to the state. They do not have a water right. So I just want to make sure that's clear. When we start talking priorities and all that, people can get a little confused. So I just want to make sure that, you know, as soon as we walk out of here and somebody goes file something in court, that the record today verbatim states that domestic wells do not have the water right. So I just wanted to make sure the testimony was
clear. They have the
clear.
Right to use the duty of up to two
up
acre
to,
feet.
Yes. But that does not but give it, them a right.
It's a duty. Well, and again, I'm not going to split those hairs whether it's a right or not. It's not a permitted right.
Okay.
But clearly it required
so make sure
since
that's
1969
clear.
A well log and an intent card in order to drill it. And we're really splitting some fine hairs here, but they do have the right to use that water up to a duty of 2 acre feet.
And that's where a lot of confusion, I believe, is happening with our domestic well owners, is they're calling it a water right. They're believing they have a water right, but it's a water use up to a certain point. So I just want to make sure that that's stated on the record so that when the record ends up in a court case someplace, it's perfectly clear what we were actually talking about. So. And there's
I
a lot of head
sure.
nodding from the state engineer, so I'm good. Thank you.
And I'll probably get a disagreement from him, but, again, I want to make sure that it does reflect in the record that, you know, domestic wells, because they are a separate well, completely a different creature, but you know, in my mind, they are a property right. They cannot be transferred. They can't be sold. Whatever that duty of up to 2 acre feet cannot be, in fact, traded, transferred, or sold. It's attached to that ground. And I think that's where it really gets iffy in my mind. It is a property right. It's an appurtenance of the property in my mind, and I'm going to state that on the record. But my mind is pretty feeble right now. It's been a long day. Thank you. Mr. Ford, did you have something, or are you just agreeing with my feeble mind? Okay. any other comments? Mr. Oster?
I'm just wondering if that's the way you feel, Senator, and you and I have had several talks about that. Why can't we define it that way or redefine it?
Well, I believe that, and I'll again look to legal and our analyst, but I think with our statements on record, that's clearly, and I don't think even Jason disagrees. I mean, is that not pretty much where it is?
Jason King, for the record, I don't know if that was a question or not, Mr. Chairman, and I don't want to venture into the legal arena because clearly that's not my strong suit. All I can tell you is it is not a water, the way we use it, it is not a water right that can be transferred, sold. Water rights are property rights. It's actually a usufructory right. Where a domestic well is, it's the right to the use of the water, and that's about as far as I would care to go with that.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments from the committee?
That doesn't help me, Jason.
All right. Well, thoughts from the committee. I don't think there's anything else. Well, let's see. We do have a request from the private well owners of, you know, that we change the, and again, I'm just trying to roll all these domestics together to the extent I can. I believe, Ms. Keller, do you want to address that? The bill draft requesting that the priority date be taken off of domestic and, I'm sorry.
No more answers.
I think I'm going to roll that back to 3 if we have to. You know, this is just domestics. Mr. Oz, you look like you have to say something.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have some information that I think is important for the committee, and particularly for the public. We have preliminary results now from a study that we are doing, trying to predict when, what areas, and how many of the domestic wells in the Prump Basin are going to dry up. Please do not hold me to this testimony, to the letter of this testimony, because we've not yet had the chance to vet the data, but we've been working on this for some time. But I would have to say that on the back of an envelope, in the next 20 years, 2,000 of the domestic wells that exist in Prump today will have dried up. You don't have to draw a well down to where it has zero water before it's useless. You have to draw the well down to the point that the pump starts to suck air. Okay. Basically, the project that we did was to try and take an average depth and do hydrographs over time. So 2,000 in the next 20 years will dry up. 6,000 in the next 40 years will dry up. So all those wells will need to be deepened. That frames, in context, the goals of the groundwater management plan for Rump, which is one to reduce overallocation, and the other one is to stabilize the water levels and to not make that situation worse. Now, those numbers that I just gave you are based on the premise that the town grows by zero population. So as you start to add population to that, then the numbers of the domestic wells that dry up in the next 20 years are something north of 2,000. And thank you, Mr. Chair, letting me make that point.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this is John Bosta.
Yes, sir. Go ahead,
John.
Are
you on item number 4? You on item number 4?
We were just going to move to that just for a minute, but if you'll hold just a minute, John, I'll have the staff kind of comment on it.
Okay, thank you.
And I guess really you don't have any comments, so let's see just what it is.
What it is?
Yes, please. That way, keep everybody the same.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last recommendation regarding domestic wells for consideration by the subcommittee is recommendation number 4, which is to request the drafting of a bill to provide that the priority date of a domestic well is the date of land possession and remove the provision in statute that provides the priority date of a domestic well is the date of completion of the domestic well. This recommendation was submitted by Mr. Basta with the Private Well Owners Cooperative of Nye County, and it is included as tab E of the work session document.
Mr. Basta, we're not taking any testimony, so at this point I will ask what the committee's thoughts are or if they want to take this up, and then if we have any questions for you, we will ask them of you, but we're not taking any presentation, so please stand by. Committee, thoughts on Section 4?
Mr. Chairman?
Please, go ahead, Megan.
And if I may, and I'm looking at how this all fits together. You know, when you make me get out the NRS for a work session, it's getting pretty darn serious. I have some concerns about this because literally a piece of property could sit vacant for 20 years and have a priority right, and someone who's been there for 10 years and developed and worked and been part of the community would be treated differently. I think when you make the investment in your well, that's the date. It shouldn't be just purchasing the property. I could have gone over to Pahrump when I moved to Las Vegas in 1990 when they had the ads in the newspaper, come buy 5 acres for some unreasonably low price that they were selling all those little rancheros. I could have bought a whole bunch of those and had my domestic well date be that date in 1990 and never put a building or used it. So I just don't think this is fair to the people who actually invest the money in sinking the well, that when they put their money up front, that's their date that they should have it, not just the purchase of the property.
Okay, so. And I think that's even a farther removal than what this bill. I believe Mr. Bost's concern is by having any kind of a priority date on a domestic well. He says once you, and I would disagree with him on the premise that I don't care. If you've got a well that was drilled in 1940 and somebody's got a 2005 well and you have a conflict with that neighbor and you go to court, the date that it was drilled will come into question. And so I really feel that you're probably just as well off having what they call a priority date as being the date it was drilled, because again, it's a domestic well. There is no requirement, no permit, so there's no proof of beneficial use required. You don't have to beneficially use it. It just sits there. But technically, once you have the intent card, you get the well in, it becomes a domestic, the right to use up to 2 acre feet of water. So, I think it would be counterproductive to, and I realize it's only been in place 9 years, the priority date on domestic wells since the 07 session, but I do believe the date the well was drilled will come into question in any kind of a legal. And Mr. Ford, you're an attorney. You agree?
Can I abstain? I'm going to keep my mouth closed on this one.
Any other comments from the committee on number 4? Other than I thought you were going a different direction completely, that you wanted the priority date to be the date you actually bought the property?
No.
Oh, okay.
I disagree
right,
with that.
All right.
No, I'm sorry.
Well,
I
think the committee's just looking past this. All right, let's roll back up to 3. And can we roll 3B and 2B kind of together and get something palatable for the one bill draft? Please, come on.
So I just got to understand then, if you want to roll in 2B and 3B, what we ultimately decide to do about a definition of severely over-appropriated basins. Am I understanding you correctly that we don't have that defined right now in statute?
Right.
Okay. So have you already given the direction that we're going to get it defined in statute?
We will define it in as part of the, I think that's appropriate, right? To the extent we can, we could almost, don't you always kind of,
the committee can certainly decide to define it. However, staff is not going to be able to come up with a definition
right.
without some guidance as to how the committee wants the term defined.
Exactly, and that's not my concern, but the issue I want to raise is because I know what over-appropriated means. It means it's more money, more appropriated than we have in the well. But the word severely is, you know, very amorphous, if you will. So we will need to put a percentage number or some kind of number on that for the definition. And have we had that discussion at all? What would that number be for classification as severely over-appropriated?
I don't think any of us has really taken that up. Most of them, and again, Mr. King, would you please come forward? Typically, you're probably at 300% when you're saying severely over-appropriated.
And that may very well maybe it. Maybe we codify what the current practice is, and I'm not adverse to that, but I need to know what we construe severely as meaning when we say severely over-appropriated.
And Jason King, for the record, Mr. Chairman and Senate Ford, yeah, 300% is
severely
over-appropriated. That's what we've used internally.
Okay.
And so I think that's reasonable to put that in.
Yeah, I'm not adverse to that, but I'm not the expert on that. So at the end of the day, I'm going to defer to Mr. King and members on this committee who have a better understanding of what that means. And so if someone wants to chime in on that to persuade me otherwise, I'm happy to hear that as well.
I would think realistically if you were at 200% over appropriated, it's just a matter of time. You're going to be at 300 because it's going to go away. You know.
Okay, so you want to leave it at 300?
So I think 300 is reasonable. And again, I'm just rattling here in three, trying to come up with something palatable. All right, we're talking about new wells at a half acre foot if they're in a severely over appropriated. You know, so that says that the state engineer may limit them to a half acre foot in severely over-appropriated or critical management, a CMA, and then we're going to throw some other language in there that says in that scenario that if he had to curtail pumping in that severely over-appropriated or CMA, he would have the ability to do that to inside water, even though we're already arguing he has that ability. Clearly, he has the ability to put a moratorium on a basin, I believe, to say no more wells at all. But I think with this, we're giving him the flexibility of coming with a new scenario in these problem basins, and only in these problem basins, of a half-acre foot. And if it was so serious that he ended up having to curtail, he's saying no more wells, and then it's still not working, so he's saying, I'm going to have to curtail. Then in that scenario, he could curtail to inside water only.
But that curtailment could take place retroactively. Because that's part of what he's asking for. 2B is for retroactive curtailment.
Well, he can't go back and curtail what he has. I mean, that would be going forward. That would be on, yes, on existing wells.
Yeah, on existing wells. That's what I mean.
That wouldn't
yeah.
be new wells. Right. Yeah. No, I as bad as I don't, I think if you're in that scenario and you've got this in place and we're in the prompt basin and, yeah, we're 300% appropriated, we know that. That's a given. We're over 60,000 acre feet of water rights in the prompt basin. But again, we've got a water table that's somewhat stable. Oz said, you know, hey, we're looking at 10 to 20 years out before we really get into some problems. So, again, we're going to give them the opportunity in the interim to come up with a water management plan to stabilize that through water conservation, importation, actually putting some of those lines in place. The only thing I continue to struggle with on this new well, I need some language there that says, all right, I got a new well. I'm only going to get a half acre foot, but I'm going to go see Greg Hafen or Tim or somebody and see if I can buy a couple acre feet of water because I've got 10 acres here and I want it to look nice. All right, and so he is able to buy a couple acre feet from somebody in the Pahrump Basin, Basin 162. What do we call that well with a half acre foot of domestic and 2 acre feet of ag, municipal, other right?
Jason King, for the record, and we have that all over the state, and there is that one exception in the statute that you are allowed to have a domestic use with any other manner of use. So we frequently get applications for irrigation and domestic. commercial and domestic. So all of a sudden, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, if someone were to go out and purchase 5 acre feet of ag rice to put in that domestic well, it would be an ag well, but it also has a domestic signature to it.
I just found 2 acre feet for all the guys in Diamond Valley and on the Humboldt, and every well I've got, I want a domestic application with it. It's only 2 acre feet, but it would add up.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I missed what you just said.
I'm saying, okay, I've got an ag well, and so I'm going to say, hey, I want a domestic on that as well. And so you give me 2 acres. I want 2 more acre feet of water. I'm sorry.
Jason, keep the record. And believe me, we've had hours of discussion over that very issue, and we have set out policy for how that's interpreted as of a 2 acre foot domestic on top of the ag right, or is it inclusive of that? And a lot of it has to do with the timing in which if a water right's brought into a domestic well, it loses that domestic well signature, but you can still pump it to your home, and you wouldn't be penalized if you pumped it for that domestic use.
All right, sir.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please, go ahead.
So if I understood your motion, you're actually combining 2B with 3A and B, right? Because you talked about the half acre foot.
Yeah, 3A, and I think is really what we're talking about, which is the recommendation from Nye County Water District, but we're throwing some of that language in out of 3B and 2B into it, right?
Yeah. So, look, if that's the motion the chair wants to receive, you know, I can support that. But here's the concern I have. I think again, Mr. King has said separate and apart from future use and new domestic wells. He wants to be able to address current well owners and potentially curtail to only inside with the exception for outdoor watering of pets and livestock. If you combine 2B with 3A and B in the same BDR, we might not get it passed. It might be tough to get it passed if they're combined. I'm just saying out loud, right? You know, I'm looking forward to a session, and people are going to – the bill can die because of one or the other.
Oh, yeah.
Seems to me that you might want to keep it separate and run a bill on 2B and then run a separate bill on combining 3A and B if that's what you want to do.
Good
that's
point. Just my we're not short of BDRs, I don't think, at this point. And, again, there are some personal BDRs that – and this is a critical issue. And I guess the people here in attendance have to understand, too, again, because just because we – spoke this idea out there that it's a BDR.
That's right.
It's got to get out of the legislature.
And get signed.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but I see A and B as sort of contradictory to each other because we're saying in a severely over-appropriated basin or critical management area that any new well will be 0.5 acre feet, but then in B we're saying no new wells. So I don't understand how we could say no new wells, but if so.
I was talking 2B.
2B?
From the, yeah.
And 3A.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
So moved.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I was.
Because those two are contradictory to each other. So it would be 2B and 3A.
And 1BDR?
Yeah. Do you think that would fly?
I'm still concerned that combining the two might kill the bill, but it's, you know, it's your prerogative.
You want to keep separate?
Okay.
Okay. Question away, Mr. Hardy.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around this new domestic wells in 3A and a priority of the new. So I'm still worried that a person who's got an existing 2 acre feet and then people who come after the passage of this bill have then working under a different law. I think the people under the different law should be treated differently than the people who are under the current law. And I would feel worried about taking or curtailing current people because I don't feel comfortable with that, whereas the people who come after some law passes, that those people are in a different risk than the people who have already bought and paid for, drilled their well, planted their cottonwoods, et cetera, under there too. So this new domestic well in 3A, how do we define new in the curtailment? And I think the new should apply to after the bill passes. Those people would be new.
And Senator Hardy, you might be right. I was probably wrong to try and mix them, and maybe we just, in the interest of time and everything, and I believe we'll have the BDRs. However, you know, just let's run them separate. All right, we're talking about in 2A, if he has to curtail, or 2B, if he has to curtail, this is where we are. All right, and then go ahead and go to 3A and call it good. Mm-hmm. And just run those as two BDRs. However, I staff, Ms. Keller, would you read the Nye County definition of new well, just so we have it in the record as well?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I asked Nye County regarding their definition of new domestic wells, and they provided that the Pahrump Groundwater Management Plan states, regarding the definition of a new domestic well, existing domestic wells are not included, and in addition, existing domestic wells that require any type of rehab, refurbishment, or replacement are recommended to be exempt from being considered. So that would apply to the recommendations under number 3 for new domestic wells, whereas number 2 would be regarding curtailment by priority of existing wells.
Mr. Chair, that's what I was looking for. That's what I was... I want to make sure that that's in there and on the record very clearly.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Oskerson. All right. At this point, we need to keep moving ahead because the time is going to get short before we realize it. All right. I would entertain a motion. Any thoughts? Let's start with 2A, and we determined we will run them as separate BDRs. 2, am I confused? 2B, I'm sorry. Motion on that?
So moved.
Okay. And in that, would you amend your motion to talk about severely over-appropriated and CMAs? Do you not think it belongs in there? I just don't want to turn a loose cannon here that if you aren't designated over-appropriated or a CMA, you probably shouldn't be curtailing.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would make a stab at this, that I would request the drafting of a bill that when a basin is designated either severely over-appropriated or designated as a critical management area, that the withdrawals from domestic wells for outdoor water use would be curtailed with the exemption of allowance for outdoor watering of pets and livestock. So they would get indoor water use and outdoor for pets and livestock.
Okay, we've got a motion, a second.
Because there would be no reason to curtail
second,
if
we'll,
it wasn't.
We'll go to the questions. Any
I'll second it, then discussion.
Okay. All right, we've got a second, now discussion.
Okay.
Mr. Hardy.
Okay, Mr. Hardy.
And then I'll get you.
Thank you. With the motion and the second, providing the severe over-appropriated and the curtailment, and that's where we put the definition. We probably ought to make sure the definition's in the other one, too, because I still am worried about curtailing people who have 2 acre feet, and that's a property right. And we're going to get everybody coming in there unless we put in the word new in that 2B proposed BDR. And then define what new is in that motion.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, to the questioner, since I made the motion, what we're trying to solve at this moment is people that would be totally curtailed. So this is for the existing system that the state engineer is working under now. So by making it proactive in the future, we will not be solving the problem of current well owners under a possible curtailment system. So we would want to make sure we would protect everyone. Point number 2, I'm a little concerned about defining severely over-appropriated. it would almost give the impression that, you know, we accept that term up to 300%, and I just don't want to give the impression that we're going to actually classify somebody that. I mean, we should never get to that. So once a basin gets under control, severely over-appropriated, might be 200%, and then we would have to come back and make a statutory change. So I think it depends on the basin and what's going on and the conservation measures that are going. I'm leery about hardcore definitions in some of these cases because that might not fit all 250-some basins in the state. So I would be adverse to the definition of severely over-appropriated within this particular bill because I think it would muddy the waters on the curtailment portion of it.
Mr. Ford, any comment? Well, I'll respond to Ms. Carlton. No, you know, I think you have to put a definition in place of some type of, you know, what severely over-appropriated is. And I'm fine at down the road if we have to come back and amend it because it is too big or too little. But I think for us to, and again, just because the state engineer's position is what it is, you know, we don't want to, again, turn a loose cannon loose and start curtailing in some of these areas where I would feel
and
a comfort level if
Mr.
there was a line in the sand.
And my concern is if we put a definition in this bill, that will become the target in this bill, and we will not be able to do the good work in the curtailment system because people will see that definition, and that will cause the problems. I think any definition should be separate and apart from any policy that we're doing, and then the policy should work back to the definitions. I don't want to see a definition kill a good bill, and I'm afraid that's what will happen.
And Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I think we're just getting very far off, from what 2B was attempting to do. I mean, we're making it too confusing. It seems to me that he asked a simple question, which was, under the current statutory scheme, if he has a curtail, he wants it to be allowed that he can curtail only withdraw. This is what he wants to do. Only withdrawals for domestic wells for outdoor use are curtailed with accepted allowance for outdoor watering of pets and livestock. He's not asking for a definition of severely over-appropriated. I mean, that's not even in the verbiage of 2B.
Right.
So why don't we just leave it alone and go with 2B as he's asking? And then once we get over to the 3A side, we can talk a little further about the appropriateness of defining severely over-appropriated, which Assemblywoman has just brought to my attention some more things to think about. But I don't think that's relevant to 2B.
But I do want to trigger in place on, and I believe, I think Mr. Hardy's the same way. I don't want to give it open-ended where the state engineer can go in and curtail.
But he already has that. I mean, he has his own definition.
I'm trying to squeeze this.
On the one hand, so it seems to me, Mr. Chair, what you're trying to do on the one hand is to give and take away, right? Because on the one hand, he has the order of discretion right now to decide when curtailment is necessary, and he has to go by priority. So he's going to get rid of home well users first. And right now, all he can do is get rid of all their water. And what he's asking for is...
And we know there's not a court in the land that's going to tell a lady with a pile of dirty clothes and dirty dishes in the sink, you can't use any water.
Well,
we're going to go to court.
I'm not going to argue that case. I'm not going to argue that case.
Right.
The only point I'm making, though, is that we are conflating a lot of issues that's making this a lot more complicated, in my view, than it needs to be.
And I think we are arguing, he has the right to curtail, but how effective and would that be accepted in court? So I'm saying, okay, at the point he issues a curtailment order, I want to make sure there are some sideboards on it that, you know, it is triggered by something. And, again, no reflection on Jason because I know and respect him. I just don't know who's coming down the avenue. And somebody could walk in there and have a preconceived of maybe it isn't 300%. He's just saying, okay, we're over-appropriated, all you domestics, and I don't want to fill this room again. So.
Senator?
Sir?
Question.
Yes, sir.
Is there a way, are there certain triggers you could do? Could you tier that? I know you're asking for numbers. Could you tier that? And then at 250%, the state water engineer goes to the basin, the people in the basin, and holds this meeting and says, you guys are at 250%. before too much longer, there's going to be these things that are going to these other mechanisms go into place to start impacting significantly what you're able to do. Because I think we've heard some things about transparency, and Mr. King, again, don't think that I'm trying to. I'm not making any accusations here, but I'm wondering if you know the outreach and the discussion, those kind of things. If you had a tiered system, if somebody got to 200% over appropriated, 250% over appropriated, and then 300 was the trigger to start doing some of these things, that I still have a hard time with, just for the record. You could advise them of that, and maybe there could be some self-imposed conservation measures or those kinds of things that would go into place. I'm not trying to make it too difficult, Senator Ford. I'm really not. I'm just trying to make it so that there's a mechanism so people know where they are and where they sit. Because otherwise, they, all of a sudden, boom, one day it's there and it's done. But if there's been a system that you've applied, you know, across the board, let people know where it is and what it is. I'm wondering, and Mr. King, I'd like your thoughts on that. If there's something you can say besides just be quiet.
Jason King, for the record, and I appreciate all the comments, questions, and discussion. And I'm really looking at 2B very simplistically, much like Senator Ford has articulated. The way the law works right now, domestic well owners are going to be cut off entirely in curtailment. We're trying to at least, in times of curtailment, which we have never done in this state, in groundwater. We've attempted it once, and it failed. So some people that don't get involved in this, it's not like this happens all the time. We've never done it. We have one critical management area in the state, Diamond Valley. I would just like to read. So the hammer that we're talking about, regulation by priority, which our office never, ever, ever wants to use, is found under 534.110 sub-6, and it says that the state engineer shall conduct investigations in any basin or portion thereof where it appears that the average annual replenishment to the groundwater supply may not be adequate for the needs of all permittees and all vested right claimants. And if the findings of the state engineer so indicate, state engineer may order that withdrawals, including without limitation, withdrawals from domestic wells be restricted to conform to priority rights. So in that statement there, that is what gives our office the ability to regulate a basin. It's very clear it includes domestic well owners. And the threshold is where our office conducts an investigation and found that the recharge isn't sufficient to supply water to all those uses. So there's not a severely overappropriated, there's not a tiered rate or whatever. In the back of my mind, it's always been in these basins that are not only overappropriated or even fully appropriated, but they're being pumped to the perennial yield or more. That's a big part of the puzzle. But we also conduct water levels. Are the water levels dropping like a rock? I mean, there's other things that go into a determination that we got to do something right now. We need to begin curtailment. What's not clear in this, although there might be attorneys in the room that think that is, it's not clear that if we did go to curtail in a basin, maybe you wouldn't have to curtail back to the perennial yield. Maybe you could do it in staged processes to see how the aquifer responds to that reduction, in pumping. So I think that's an option available to us. And like I really appreciate your point, Senator Oscarson. Transparency is everything. I do think that the 50 some basins that we have highlighted in our presentations that we have categorized as severely overappropriated, they're on a list. And as we get around to it and as we further investigate what's happening with the water level declines, we will be working with all those stakeholders to come up with a groundwater management plan to bring them back in the basin. And that segues into another one of the recommendations on tools for overappropriated basins. In any case, in my opinion, no disrespect, I think we're making 2B much more complicated than it needs to be. In the case of severely overappropriated, I don't know that needs to be defined anywhere, but I'll leave it up to the committee and to legal. When you get into 3A or 3B, you can talk about critical management areas.
Okay, that's fine. I've got a motion, I believe, and a second on the floor, and that is to, I believe, just 2B standing alone, right, as written. All right, I'll call for discussion. With the discussion, I'll call for the vote, and under discussion, I will say we can argue this as we get into session. Clearly, there'll be some more discussion on whether we need some more sideboards or not on it, but I think you know, clearly we understand the state engineer has the legal right to curtail today. We are just given the ability to only do a partial curtailment rather than a complete forfeiture or suspension of that right. All right. With that, I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Chairman votes aye for the record. Opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimous. All right. Let's roll on to the next one. We've probably got a semi-motion on, let's see, where we're going to go to 3A, isn't it?
3A.
Yes. 3A. Motion?
So moved. Second.
Got a motion from Assemblywoman Carlton, a second from Senator Ford. Discussion?
Does that motion include the 300% or 250% or
no? It just, I guess just we'll argue that again. What severely over-appropriated means when we get actually do the bill.
Yeah, I think that's the right approach, Mr. Chair.
Because we can be here the rest of the day.
That's right. And I also want to say that this is for new developments. Just to confirm for everybody, this is not curtailing existing folks back to 0.5. This is for new wells.
This is on new wells. Exactly. All right.
I just want to say it's for new wells.
Yes, it is. And we have the definition in the record what a new well means. So.
Thank you, sir.
All right, very good.
Is this for new wells?
I'm going to call for the vote. If there's no further discussion, we are approaching 3 o'clock. We've got an hour and a half and some other meat to get through. So vote.
Aye.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Chairman votes aye for the record. Opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimous. Ms. Keller, please.
Recommendation number 5 before the committee is to request the drafting of a bill to allow for de minimis rainwater collection for domestic use or wildlife guzzlers. The subcommittee will recall that this recommendation was discussed between Jason King and subcommittee members and others at the Pahrump meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion from Ms. Carlton, a second from Senator Hardy. Discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Chairman votes aye for the record. And just so people don't think this is a slam dunk, we've already got, I don't know how many, a couple thousand guzzlers in place, clearly in violation to state law. So, and we'll deal with the bits and pieces of how much you can hold of rainwater or whatever, but that is has been a problem that came to our attention. We have got to 4. Ms. Keller, is this our 4th BDR?
Yes.
Why don't we see if we can
Mr.
see...
Mr. Chairman, if you would like, I would be happy to carry this BDR and one of my personal BDRs to save the committee room for one of their others. So I'll make that commitment on the record and reach out to LCB and have it submitted for the committee's purpose.
I think that would be tremendous, and that's exactly what I was looking for.
You got it.
Thank you. Yes.
Just so the committee knows, it would be possible for some of these recommendations to be combined into one BDR because under the single subject rule, they would all be BDRs that relate to water. So if the committee wanted to take recommendations that are approved and combine them in specific BDRs, we can do it that way as well.
Thank you, but we'll use one of Maggie's just to keep her honest. Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Keller.
So, Mr. Chairman, because we took a motion and voted on it, and it did actually become one, I'd like to make the motion that we withdraw previous action, and therefore it won't be part of the committee record, and I'll
second.
Carry it. So,
I have that motion. So moved. Second. Okay, we're out of here.
Okay, we all agree.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And we retract all our further previous action. We're done. Out of here, Ms. Keller.
Recommendation number 6 before the subcommittee is to request the drafting of a bill to provide that metering is required on all users in the state. The members will recall that the need to measure all water use in the state was included in the presentation by Southern Nevada Water Authority at the Las Vegas meeting and in recommendations by Utilities, Inc. at the Pahrump meeting and subcommittee discussion with Jason King, state engineer, at several meetings.
All right. Thank you. I don't think there's probably much appetite on this one, although I will make the comment. I believe the state engineer can require meters on any other application, and we'll argue about the domestics, but definitely on any permitted application, he can require a meter at this point. So let's proceed to 7.
Recommendation number 7 has two alternatives. 7A is to request the drafting of a bill to clarify that the Office of the State Engineer is authorized to utilize adaptive management approaches to mitigate potential conflicts. According to the State Engineer, current law allows his office to limit the initial use of water under a permit to a quantity that is less than the total amount approved under the application, and provides that the use of an additional amount of water may be authorized at a later date if additional evidence demonstrates to the satisfaction of the State Engineer that the additional amount of water is available and may be appropriated. According to the State Engineer, this proposed revision to the water law would expand that authority to include adaptive resource management. So this was a recommendation provided by Jason King, State Engineer, and is provided at tab F. And at their presentation at the Las Vegas meeting, Southern Nevada Water Authority indicated support for this recommendation. Alternatively, we have received a recommendation to request the drafting of a bill to provide that the Office of the State Engineer may not utilize adaptive management approaches to mitigate conflicts. According to proponents, the State Engineer's amendment should be opposed for a number of reasons, including that the existing no-conflict requirement protects a senior water right holder from potential destruction of an already existing water right, and there is no guarantee a promised mitigation plan will keep a senior water rights holder whole. So this recommendation combines concepts received by Eureka County, included at tab H, Central Nevada Water Authority at tab G, Humboldt River Water Basin Authority, tab A, and Great Basin Water Network, tab I.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir, please.
If the chair is inclined, I would prefer 7A, and I'd make a motion that we adopt 7A as a potential BDR.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Now, again, I'm going to have to bring some discussion into this. Mr. King, would you come forward? I just need to clarify. Is this not the 3M plan that was already been reversed by the Supreme Court?
Jason King for the record. Thank you for the question, Mr. Chairman. This is tied into that, yes, it is. And when we discussed this in the other meetings, full disclosure, I said we're litigating this issue. And we've heard what the Supreme Court has said. So we're not trying to do an end around. But it's an issue that's before us, and it's a statewide issue.
Yes, Mr. Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And our backup, it's either Arizona, Oregon, or Montana in the 123 pages today that looked at adaptive management and put some fences around how you use that. And some states are able to hone in and give some clarity to how that's used. And I think that was one of the challenges that people had is how much freedom do you have to do adaptive management? And then as far as Supreme Court things are concerned, was that a Supreme Court on the Constitution or the NRS?
Jason King for the record. I believe it was on the NRS, but I'd like to look back at my counsel.
NRS?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, it was NRS.
So if it's NRS, then we make the NRS, and we can do NRS, and if it's the Constitution, then that's another ballgame.
Susan Joseph Taylor, for the record, Deputy Administrator, Nevada Division of Water Resources. It was really neither. It was sent back so that a 3M plan was done before approval of a water right application with full participation by the parties to the proceeding.
So it's a PMRS.
That's a
pre-PMRS. Sorry.
And really, the way I understand it, the nuts and bolts of it, they approved the application before they had the plan in place. And we want to make sure that doesn't, in fact, is not the case. I mean, you have to know what you're going to monitor and manage. And I believe in this instance, and again, because it is the B portion, and Mr. Tippett, would you come forward? I guess you're going to speak on behalf of, or Mr. Bradhurst. I thought I saw Steve in the room as well.
And as they come, Mr. Chair, I'll tell you, my thought is that the interested parties continue to work on the language of this.
What's that?
That my thought is that the interested parties will continue to work on the language for this BDR, not that we spell everything out right now.
Okay. Well, and again, then would we, the committee, feel more comfortable maybe in either yourself or myself bringing this forward as a personal BDR and let them beat this language out?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I think there's a couple other components here, but when I can't, it was my understanding, and I am not a lawyer, and I don't want to be a lawyer, that the court really didn't opine on actual 3M plans. It was the process upon which everything happened, and that things need to be lined out before we can do it. So that was my understanding of the problem. And if we say we like 3M plans, then that would end up negating some of the concerns that the court had. So what we're trying to do here is clarify the public policy issue on 3M plans. And I see a lot of head nodding, but would someone say yes for the record, please?
Susan Joseph Taylor for the record. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Tippetts, and again, you guys took a position in opposition, I believe, and Mr. Bradhurst as well. There's another chair up here. I want to make sure we get this right or let you guys beat it out right.
Mr. Chair, Jake Tibbetts from Eureka County for the record. Again, I just point the committee, if you want a little more background on our position, we did put a position paper towards this committee, but want to make it clear that we support 3M plans.
Right.
We support adaptive management if done correctly. So make it clear that we're not against those concepts.
Right.
So we would be very interested in the language moving forward on this and if being able to participate in that process, so, you know, in development of that BDR, if you take that into account, I don't know. But, you know, we do have concerns with even some of the language of this recommendation when it's, but I don't want to get into all the weeds on that. So I do think, again, I want to go on the record that we support 3M. Eureka County brought a bill in 2013. That's the only, and you sponsored it, Mr. Chair, and it's the only place in the statute where it references 3M plans. So, of course, we support it. We brought a bill to help get that in there. But we do want to be part of the process moving forward. I want to get that clear, and we may have some disagreements, but we're positive that being at the table and working on these things together, we can find something that works for prior existing rights and also works to allow development of the water resources in this state.
Mr. Bradhurst, you have a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Steve Bradhurst, Executive Director of the Central Nevada Regional Water Authority. To us, we concur with Eureka County, the Central Nevada Regional Water Authority's position is that we're really looking at two important concepts here and definitions, and one is what is a conflict, and the other is the 3M plan or mitigation. And as you look at state water law today, is that the state engineer cannot issue a permit to someone if it's going to conflict with an existing water right. So that is the first cut that I see. Now, if you look at the definition of mitigation, at least in Webster's Dictionary, and I put that in our comments, it is to make something less severe, harmful, or painful. That, to me, is not eliminating a conflict. So the issue here is, are we talking about developing a mitigation plan to try to address a conflict, but in fact the conflict will not be eliminated? It'll be less painful, but there'll still be a conflict. And that throws, in my mind, the prior appropriation doctrine on its ear, because the prior appropriation doctrine is first in time, first in right. So we're wrestling with that, and certainly the Central Nevada Regional Water Authority would be more than happy to sit down and wrestle with you and Senator Ford, Mr. Chairman, on this issue. But as I say, if one is talking about eliminating the existing law and allow the state engineer to issue a permit that conflicts with an existing water right, you're hurting somebody. And if you use the magical word mitigation, that doesn't mean that the conflict's going to be eliminated. Now, if the state engineer says that will happen at the front end before he issues a permit, we're all for it. But if he says, well, I'm going to work on the mitigation later, then who knows what state engineer will work on it and when will it happen. And the person that's left out in the cold will be the person with the senior water right.
And then we'll litigate it. Mr. Ford, in the interest of time, again, because we can argue this forever, but maybe you and I and, you know, as bring a personal BDR forward and work on some of this language if the committee is not upset with that.
Yeah, you sponsor it, and I'll co-sponsor it with you. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and Ms. Carlton as well.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a big enough issue that I would hate to see. This is going to be a toughie. Okay, so if you guys want to take it on, but I want to make to Mr. Bradhurst's point, mitigation is supposed to eliminate the conflict in my mind. So I guess you and I are probably not on the same page on this one. So the mitigation is supposed to deal with the issue. This is going to be, Mr. Chairman, it's all yours. I'm not going there, and I hope I don't serve on natural resources. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
And I hope it doesn't cost any money.
Yes, ma'am. But anyway, again, let Senator Ford and myself will try and work on it, and I'll commit to BDR, and or better yet, whoever's in the majority can commit a committee BDR. Okay, how's that?
Okay.
We can move forward.
So I will retract my motion because I made a motion on this. Yeah, so right. I will retract my motion.
Right, I'd appreciate that, and let us kind of beat through this and give a little more time. Another sensitive issue, but we don't have time. Thank you. Keller.
Recommendation number 8 is to include a position statement in the final report to acknowledge surface groundwater connectivity and the need for the Office of the State Engineer to utilize conjunctive management of surface water and groundwater resources where connected. This recommendation combines concepts and recommendations received by the Office of the State Engineer, Central Nevada Regional Water Authority, the Nature Conservancy, Great Basin Water Network, Pershing County Water Authorities, and others.
Okay, I think everybody agrees we need that position statement. I don't know what it's going to say, and I don't know if Ms. Keller and Ms. Clarkston have any problem drafting it, but I think that's where we need to go. Do I have a motion? Motion and a second. I've got a motion from Senator Hardy, a second from, I'd rather have the assembly side, from Mr. Oscarson. And we will include a position statement that we acknowledge there is a connection and we need to start dealing with it.
And Mr. Chairman, under discussion, will the committee be able to review that as it moves forward?
Definitely.
Please? Thank you.
As with all these, committee BDRs, once we have them drafted, I will rattle them around individually to you. To the members, so we have them. All right.
Recommendation number 9 is to request the drafting of a bill to require the claimant of pre-statutory water rights to submit proof of the claim to the Office of the State Engineer on or before December 31st, 2025, regardless of whether an adjudication has been ordered for a water source. If the claimant fails to submit such proof, the claim is deemed to be abandoned. And this recommendation was submitted by the Central Nevada Regional Water Authority and is included at tab G.
Now, I did see a BDR out of the state engineer's shops that talks something about vested. That's not part. This doesn't get into it. Okay. I just saw some loose-knit BDRs coming out of water resources, and I wanted to make sure you didn't have this one in there. We don't want to duplicate. Okay, this is the bill we had last session. We didn't quite get passed because of the controversy. 10 years to bring forward your proof of vested rights. Again, if we don't start bringing these up to speed pretty quick, they are going to be lost. I think everybody agrees with it. I think it was a committee BDR or my own last session, but it would have a little more weight if it came out of this committee. So, motion for Mr. Hardy, second for Ms. Carlton. And we'll roll it ahead. All those in favor?
Aye.
Chairman votes aye for the record. Let's call it into discussion.
Yes, that's fine. I just would like to ask the engineer to at least give me a heads up on what resources might be needed to accomplish this. So if you would, not now, but when you have the time to sit down and look at what's going to be needed to do this, I want to make sure that we keep that. And because everything we do, we will end up, you know, there will be costs somewhere, so just want to keep that in mind.
Carlton, in the short term, actually, the real problem with this is it's going to put the burden on the applicant or those people that are claiming vested rights. They've got 10 years to get them in place before the state engineer starts his adjudication. Presently, when he tries to adjudicate a basin, all of a sudden he gets a stack of claims, vested claims. This says by 2025, you either have them in place or forget. So it's actually the applicant that's claiming the vested claim that
I'm just thinking of outreach and the work that needs to be done in dealing with the phone calls and everything that's going to happen when this gets out there. So if there is a financial component, I'd just like to be prepared for it.
Thank you. Mr. Hardy.
I can't resist. We're going to use the same outreach that we used to let everybody know about this meeting.
You're right. You couldn't resist. All right. Thank you. Okay, we're rolling ahead with that one. I guess we're on 10. Ms. Keller.
Recommendation number 10 is to include a position statement in the final report recommending a statewide Nevada water future discussion and strategy, include a statement in the subcommittee's final report encouraging the executive branch of the state government, the Nevada legislature, Nevada's local governments, Nevada's business community, the environmental community, and the public to come together in a partnership to discuss Nevada's water future and develop a Nevada water future strategy, and to utilize the work of the Legislative Commission Subcommittee to Study Water, the Governor's Drought Summit, and the Nevada Drought Forum as a foundation for a meaningful statewide water future discussion and strategy. This recommendation was submitted by Central Nevada Regional Water Authority and is at tab G.
Unfortunately, I'm a little concerned. I don't know what our final report is going to look like, other than I guess we could do the 3.5 hours of public comment, have that transcribed, and make sure that everyone gets to read it. That would be good nighttime reading. So with that, I'm fine with this position and a final report. I just don't know what we're going to have for a final report. Ms. Keller, you have any thoughts? I mean, most of it's going to be BDRs. Can we compile a short?
There will be a bulletin prepared, a report at the end of the interim.
So I think everyone will be fine with forwarding that to them. It's not going to be very impressive, but it'll be what it is. I should call for an action, and do we want to include that position statement? For what it's worth, it can't hurt. We've got a motion from Ms. Carlton. And a second from, these guys are in conversation, Mr. Oscarson. I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Chairman. We're glad. Do you vote yes or no on that? All right. Chairman votes aye for the record, and we'll move on.
Recommendation number 11 is to include a position statement in the final report calling for local government land use plans to be based on identified sustainable water resources. According to the proponent of this recommendation, many local government land use plans have been developed without consideration of the amount and source of water needed to implement the plans. According to the proponent, such plans create property owner expectations that cannot be supported by available water resources. And this recommendation was submitted by Central Nevada Regional Water Authority as well.
So as I understand the request, then it's asking that local government land use plans incorporate some of their water inventory into it. I guess we have that authority, but that would only be just a position. Clearly, I don't think it hurts to ask them. We'll send it to NACO and say, hey, we want to see how you're doing with your water. We didn't get much done. So. Committee, good with that?
Yep. Yes.
All right. Motion?
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Hardy. A second. From Mr. Oscarson. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Chairman votes aye for the record. Opposed?
I'm a no.
Oh, so Ms. Carlton is no. You don't want to make them show us what they got? Okay. It's
Mr.
Not
Chairman,
growth
is jobs, and I think we might be overstepping our bounds just a little bit, but this is not my battle to fight, but I'm sure the Clark County Commission will.
Do you think they'll give us the feedback? Yes.
We'll hear about it, so yes. That'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Ms. Keller, we'll go to 12.
Recommendation number 12 is to send a letter to the Office of the State Engineer recommending the use of independent and peer-reviewed USGS estimates of a basin's groundwater resources, sustainable water resources, or perennial yield instead of using a water right applicant's estimate of a basin's groundwater resources. Where an updated estimate of a basin's groundwater resource is required as a result of an application, the applicant should provide funds to the Office of the State Engineer to pay for the update, and the update should be performed by the USGS. This is a recommendation by Central Nevada Regional Water Authority.
Thank you, Ms. Keller. And on this one and the next one, I guess both of them, I think these are probably Steve and some of the other people that have brought this forward. We recognize the need for it, but again, coming out of this committee, I just don't know how effective and what we're going to get out of it. I think it's something we probably need to deal with, and probably something that we probably need to be looking at legislation, creating another water committee or something a little different than this one, maybe go back to what was really intended with the 398, and that's a water study, and actually get on some real pieces and components of it. We can send a position statement to, the state engineer and tell him, hey, we think you ought to do this, but we're really going to get some response when we actually get some data in place and get a hammer going. I think we're just writing letters here on these two, and I'm sorry. I understand where you're coming from, but I'm very concerned about I know everyone wants to go to sustainable rather than perennial yield, but I think we're going to need some real definition and some real movement. And again, it might be some legislation that would be brought outside of this committee. So with that, go ahead, Ms. Keller. And again, committee, your thoughts on it.
I was not as enamored with 12, but 13 I actually didn't have an issue with. But if it's the chair's prerogative in that regard, I'm just putting it on the record.
I'm just concerned, we're going to write a letter to Jason and tell him without really giving him any money. I think we already told him, and he's looking at me kind of grinning and saying, okay, good. So, the bottom line is I just don't know, unless we're going to put some money into it or say, okay, let's do a study on this, and I think that's something we need probably look at in the next session. And we've got a lot of holes in that we're going to have to fill. Okay, Ms. Keller.
So it's my understanding we are moving on to recommendation number 14.
That'll work.
That is to request the drafting of a bill to authorize the state engineer to suspend cancellation and forfeiture of water rights under the use it or lose it doctrine during times of drought in severely over-appropriated basins or designated critical management areas. According to proponents, the use it or lose it doctrine provides disincentive for conservation of water. This recommendation combines concepts in recommendations received by Utilities, Inc. of Central Nevada, Pahrump Utility Company and Desert Utilities at Tab D, Jason King, State Engineer, Winnemucca Farms, and Joe Ratliff at the Winnemucca meeting.
So moved.
Thank you.
Senator?
Yes.
I already have a similar BDR being held. If you'd like me, if you need an additional one, I'd be glad to work through that process with those entities, or if you want to continue it as a committee BDR.
It's your call. It's your BDR, and, if you want to, run with it, or if you think you – let's see, we're at how many out of here? Four. It would probably be better then if you wanted to go ahead and carry it yourself. And
be happy to, and I'll be glad to work with – Jason and I have talked about it a little bit, and I've talked about it with some of the other utility companies, so – we'll get together and work.
And like again, just so the bill gets brought forward, and then we'll deal with it in session.
I've already got a place card for it in the file, sir.
All right, very good. So with that, the maker of the motion will retract his motion. So we're taking no action on 14. We are taking an action technically that it'll be a personal BDR by Vice Chairman Oskarson. Okay.
Recommendation 15 is to include a position statement in the final report supporting the Office of the State Engineer's use of flexible and innovative tools for managing over-appropriated basins and in approving groundwater management plans. This recommendation combines concepts and recommendations received by the State Engineer, the Diamond Valley Groundwater Management Plan Advisory Board, the Nature Conservancy, and others.
Okay. Well, the letter is fairly simple. I think our action on 16 will show just how much support 16 is actually implementing the water plan. And so if we don't do a BDR there, then we're probably not very supportive. So that's where I'm at. So let's go ahead and move to 16.
Recommendation 16 is to request the drafting of a bill to authorize the implementation of a groundwater management plan that converts existing rights to a credit or share system. According to proponents, the system would have priority built in to provide senior rights would receive more water than junior rights. Last night, clarifying language was received from the Diamond Valley Groundwater Management Plan Advisory Board. And the members should have a copy of this document from the Diamond Valley Groundwater Management Plan Advisory Board. The language does not specify a credit or share system in this recent language, but requests the drafting of a bill which sets forth tools that the state engineer may approve in consideration of a groundwater management plan submitted for a basin designated as a critical management area.
I, in the interest of time, I'm going to ask that Mr. Tippetts or Mr. Moyle come forward and respond some questions on this, just because we want to get through it. I'm not real clear exactly where we're at and where we're headed right now.
Mr. Chair, would you like me to go ahead?
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Jake Tibbetts for the record. The document that staff just shared, told you about, hopefully you have that in front of you. Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's necessary to go through all of this. I guess what we're looking for is, you know, if you'd approve drafting of a bill, this is the language we'd suggest it's considered if the committee chose to move forward with that. Number 15 that you just passed on, we believe the legislature already called for flexible and other approaches to managing basins, or you wouldn't have passed AB 419 in the 2011 session. And while the statute talks about, groundwater management plan able to be developed in critical management areas to avoid curtailment by priority, it doesn't define what you can put in there. So we've been working very hard in Diamond Valley well before critical management area designation. We knew this was coming down the pike, and the water rights holders, a loose group, started to get together. We had professionally facilitated sessions months before the critical management area designation came out. The critical management area designation in Diamond Valley is exactly a year old yesterday. So we've been in there for a year, so we have 9 years left, I guess, under the statute to continue to make progress. There's significant progress being made. There's been testimony that I provided to this committee in Dyer about some of the things we were looking forward to. Specifically, I can speak about that in more detail if you want, but for some of the things that we're looking, the water rights holders in Diamond Valley are looking to do, these items 1 through 10 are what we need to be able to get that implemented. And we're not saying once the final plan is inked and submitted to the state engineer, it may not have every one of these, but those are the things we're toying with right now. As Ms. Keller noted, it doesn't specifically call out a share system or a credit system or anything like that, but it does highlight some of the benefits if that were the type of system the water rights holders themselves are moving forward on. So specifically, some flexibility and place of use, manner of use, point of diversion, water banking, non-forfeiture for conservation measures, which you already, that Assemblyman Oscarson is carrying a bill on. I do want to note to the committee as well that if some of this language looks familiar to you, we started with the final amended version of SB 81 from last session. So some of the points in here are starting with that language, and some of it's identical language to where that got, plus some other things we fleshed out. So we felt, you know, we worked hard through that process as well, felt we might as well start with something that already had a lot of bites of the apple with individuals bringing amendments and things forward. So that's where we started.
Mr. Tippett, has the state engineer seen this?
He received it the same time you received it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. King, do you want to come forward, Doug? Because I think, and again, we've got about an hour at the max to get this wrapped up, so I just want to make sure we get everything in front of us. You concur with their or any problem? Have you seen this?
Jason King, for the record, I have just seen it, and I've read through it quickly. Nothing really unexpected. We've been working with the stakeholders out there. So, again, I just read it one time quickly.
This will be BDR language that would move forward. Mr. Ford, you apparently have a question.
I'm not there yet in supporting of this as a BDR from this committee. I'm just not sure that I know enough about it. Obviously, it doesn't mesh with our current system, and I'm just not entirely confident that we should be taking it up without further discussion. If another senator has the BDR and we continue to work on it between now and the end of session, so be it. But I can't put my imprimatur on it from this particular committee.
All right. Any other comments? Ms. Carlton.
Thank you, and I agree. And as soon as I saw this, I started flipping through the NRS to find out what all these codes are. It's just lesson I learned years ago. When I see something that proposes a lot of let's change this but not this and starts listing a bunch of NRS and I can't look them up fast enough, I just tend to say I need more information and I need more time before I can figure out what we're really trying to do. And if a credit system is still built in there in any way, I would be opposed to it, because we're commoditizing water at a level that I don't believe the state should be doing. So I would have real concerns about that being hidden within this proposal.
Mr. Hardy, have you got a comment? Because you're kind of the swing vote.
So, I mean, I'm supportive of people locally trying to solve local problems. I mean, we've heard that over and over and over today. And as I look at this, it's local people trying to solve local problems and working with state engineer in so doing. And so I'd be happy to work with them if they needed somebody to work with.
Mr. Chair, may I?
Yes, please.
Jake Tibbetts again for the record. Totally understand some of the reservations from that, so no hard feelings on any of that. But I do want to point out that the current statute already under critical management area says you develop a groundwater management plan or you regulate by priority after 10 years. And it already pushes that power to the locals. For the plan to even get to Jason for consideration takes a petition signed by a majority of the holders of certificates or permits. We're already there. We're a critical management area. We've lost 1 year already. And we're, you know, every time we go to Jason, is this something allowed? Why don't if the statute's silent on it, he can't say yes or no.
Right.
So we're not sure. We're not wanting to affect any other basin. We're trying to fix an issue we have. And I know there's a lot of issues with local specific legislation and a Supreme Court decision, all that type of stuff. But we don't know. So, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I can't, but I am aware of those issues. We've been told about them many times. But we would like to see if there's any considerations for some pilot project or test case with a sunset or something like that, where it comes back, it allows us to see if we can make something work. But right now, every day we lose, it's time ticking on the clock, and it's people's livelihoods that are staked. And we really want to try to honestly have something in place by this next irrigation season. So we're really kind of grasping for straws with some solutions and some direction from the legislature. When that bill was passed in 2011, what was intended to be the flexibilities in that? And if there's any way to craft something that would work for us in Diamond Valley with pilot or sunset or something, I don't even know if that's legal, but we would ask for some help in doing that.
Okay, I've just got to go back and clarify again what we've got in front of us, because I think what's scary about it, we've got this, but what we've got in our work session document, it converts existing water rights to a credit system, and that's where the flags are going off, folks.
Right, Mr. Chair.
Please.
The translation of the recommendation from the Diamond Valley Groundwater Management Advisory Board that wasn't the recommendation that this group made. So if you read that it is in your packet, it never specifically called out a credit system or a share system. It talked about flexibility, water trading to be allowed in the basin, within the basin. We did talk about that. It was a bit of a surprise to us to see a credit system specifically referenced, because that wasn't a request that we had made.
Well, that's what's got the flags up there, folks. So I'm telling you, right.
Yes, sir, that's part of it. I mean, I think, again, it goes back to what I've said. We've had one meeting on it. You know, we've heard a little bit about it. We've seen a one-pager. Seems to me that I'm not the chair, but if I were the chair, the preferred approach would be not to have a split vote and to have you work with a senator who would be willing to, or a senator person would be willing to sponsor the bill, and we can continue talking about it over the course of the session. I may very well come around to it, but at this juncture, I just can't, again, put my, I can't vote in favor of it.
Of course, I don't mind split votes, but especially if we're in the majority, but I understand what you're saying. The bottom line is, well, we'll see, but let's not get into that debate. I concur with you, Mr. Ford. I don't want to force this. I'm sure we can get a senator to pack it, but that's the concern, is what we've got this, which I think we're all very supportive of, what this shows, and yet as it came out in the work session document, it kind of looks like. So further discussion. Okay.
Do you like a motion?
I would take a motion.
Move to approve. And in that motion, I would just strike the word credit.
Are we just approving this now? Or
yes.
This one. Okay. And that, in your mind then, Senator Ford, does that take away the credit and the banking requirements?
I'm just not there yet. So I'm not there.
You can get there, though.
Maybe by end of session. I don't know if that, but I mean today, right now, I just can't do it.
Yeah, I would prefer to go ahead and have it come out of this committee, because it just would have a lot more. Do I have a second? Looks like the motion is going to die for lack of a second. Okay. Well, then I guess we'll have to go from there and. Can't ask for any other action on it. Yes, sir. You will second it? Oh, we got a motion and a second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Chairman votes aye for the record. And opposed?
Aye.
Yeah, we've got the two notes. And I hate to split this on the final end, but again, we're just talking about this BDR language that you guys brought forward. So we'll work on it in session, but at least I would. And I thank you, Mr. Ford, because I know maybe you won't get there, but hopefully we can get there with the language we craft going to session, because it's going to be a long process. And I know there's parts of it I can't support either.
I'm open to it.
Okay, sir. Ms. Carlton, you're the same way. Again, there's parts I can't support, but maybe we can get something that's palatable by the time we get to the end of the session.
Mr. Chairman, and it's all based on the fact that, I've worked on this 87-page work document for the last week, if you see the hand scratch
right.
And scribble in here.
And then
to be handed something today.
Right.
I'm sorry. People have worked really hard to reach out to me and talk to me, and this has been an excellent process for this committee, and I just can't support something that shows up at the last moment.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
and just for the record, there's things in there that I'm uncomfortable with, too,
right.
But I think that with your direction and leadership working it through, I think there's
hopefully we can come up with some language. I know there are other agencies, water districts that I represent, but again, I think people are losing focus of the fact that this is only in critical management areas. All right, yes.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, just one thing. We're sorry to spring this on you at the last minute, and you know, this group of farmers that are working on this are in the middle of haying season and everything. So they met earlier a couple days ago, and themselves we spent hours to go through and highlight what was important and needed. So, again, we didn't mean to spring it on last minute. We did bring it forward. We appreciate your support in moving forward on this, and we look forward to working with you in the session to try to find some good solutions. So thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to the committee. Okay, Ms. Keller.
Recommendation number 17 is to request the drafting of a bill to clarify that an approved groundwater management plan applies to all users in the basin. And this was recommended by various utilities in PROMP.
Okay. Any questions? I can't, again, we're calling, talking about a groundwater management plan. Right, and I'm not clear why we can't put this language in the other BDR, because I think it's critical that we define what a majority is, and I think I know in a critical management area it's 50 plus one, but in my mind when you start talking about a groundwater management plan and exactly who gets to vote, and what's a majority? Is it 50 plus one? Should it be a two-thirds? I think it's very critical, especially, and I'm familiar with Diamond Valley, you could end up with a 50 plus one with a tail wagging the dog. And, you know, all the juniors clearly would be a majority. And yet, so your senior right holders would become the free riders that we've got in Smith and Mason. So I think this has to be dealt with. You know, and I'd like to see it in the same bill as 16. Committee okay with that? I guess the three of us are. Well, Mr. Ford, you would like to listen. You want to deal with this
well,
one.
Well, that's just it. You said in 16, right? Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
I think that's where
it goes. Yeah, in 16. We'll just put it right back there. Even though, and like I say, the bottom line is I think it'll give us something else to work on there. Okay. Ms. Carlton, you okay with that? You're, oh.
If I didn't like 16 and you put something in it, that didn't change the
problem. Yeah, okay.
But you love 17.
Okay, go ahead. Are we on 18? Okay, so I guess we probably do. Do I have a vote then or a motion in a second that we put 17 groundwater management plan. And I got a second to roll it together. 17 into 18. 16. Just
I mean, I'll second it.
Yeah. Okay. You'll second it. Yeah,
but I thought you needed an assembly to second. I thought that's how we were doing.
Yeah.
I said okay.
Too. Okay. I got a motion from Mr. Hardy. A second from Mr. Oscarson. Any discussion?
I'm just saying I'm going to vote aye because you're putting it in a 16, but I'm not ratifying 16.
I got you. Okay. We're going to put some stuff in there you'll love.
Okay.
We're going to get you for 16, Senator. 16's coming your way.
Bye, y'all.
All right. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Chairman votes aye for the record. Opposed?
Nope.
You're mad now. I'm sorry.
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm not mad. I learned a long time ago not to take any of this stuff personally because really there's none of these issues really affect my district that greatly. They would just affect the whole state. But if you're putting something in a bill that I don't like and I'm uncomfortable with, I'm uncomfortable with giving a yes vote and giving the false impression of something. So who knows where I'll vote next end of May when we get to this.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Ms. Keller.
Recommendation number 18 is to request the drafting of a bill to require owners of mining pit lakes to secure water rights for mining pit lake evaporative loss. This recommendation was received by the Humboldt River Basin Water Authority and the Pershing County Water Conservation District at the Winnemucca meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Keller. Alan Biaggi was supposed to be here from the mining. Okay, I didn't see you back there. Snuck in. And you're one of the – I do have a question for you, just to clarify that, if Mr. Biaggi, if you feel – or whoever. wants to come on forward and deal with it. But
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm under the impression that they're working on this together.
That's exactly what I wanted to get on the record.
I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting you, sir.
And again, Mr. Biaggi, I know there's been some conversations back and forth with the mining industry and the state engineer, I believe, and on working something out along these lines. And all I need is we're out of BDRs. So it's very opportune for you. But, I'm glad that, if you're working forward. Otherwise, I'm sure there are going to be some senators or someone somewhere that will want to address this Pet Lake issue. So you can concur that you are actively working on it.
Mr. Chairman, Alan Biaggi, today representing the Nevada Mining Association. With me is Dylan Shaver, who we all know and love. And, yes, you're correct that the state engineer and the Nevada Mining Association have been in discussions for quite some time, and I'm pleased to say that I believe we do have a meeting of the minds and that we are moving very close to a solution to this issue, and it is within the purview and the statutory authority of the state engineer as it currently exists.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Mr. Ford.
Mr. Chair, you said we're out of BDRs, so we can't take this one? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we're out of BDRs, I believe. We've used all five, right? But she said we could combine if there's something you feel you want to.
Well, I'm just wondering, do you guys have a sponsor for the bill that you're working on?
I don't believe it requires a bill.
It doesn't require a bill because this is request of drafting of a bill, so that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, okay. That was a request from Pershing County, but I think they're telling us that regulatory.
Oh, absent a bill you're working on. Okay, all right, never mind.
Stipulated agreement. If they reach it and it's satisfactory, we can move forward with it.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm sure they'll get you to carry one that fixes
this. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I think that's it. And, again, after we spent all morning here, I know this is kind of slam-bang, but we are trying to get through. Okay, Ms. Keller, any other questions from the committee? I think we all understand where it's headed.
Recommendation number 19 is to request the drafting of a bill to require temporary rights for mine dewatering be renewed every 5 years with a required assessment of water used in the past 5 years and projections for future use. This recommendation combines concepts received from Great Basin Resource Watch, Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, and the Pershing County Water District at the Winnemucca meeting.
Mr. Ford.
So you may want to bring back up the mining folks. I'll be interested in knowing what the status is on this, if they've had any discussions with the interested parties on this particular issue. Is that okay, Mr. Chair?
You're fine. If that's what it's all about, we'll get a Jason, if you'd also come forward, I think I need some clarification. I think we probably all will as far as exactly what the T and the temporary permits mean. And I believe that's probably a question you have as
yes,
well.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Okay, Jason, I think it's probably more appropriate if you go ahead and talk about it, address what a temporary is and how you deal with them.
Jason King for the record, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm not sure when our office first issued temporary in nature permits for mining, but it was probably in the early 1980s. But our office made findings for mining operations in basins. We recognized the importance of mining to the state. We issued rulings. Rulings were affirmed. And subsequently, we issued water rights, temporary in nature, so the mine could operate until the mine was done, was in reclamation. Over the years, issues have come up from different people and entities that, well, when you issued that permit in 1983, the life of mine was 20 years, and here we are in 2012, 2015, 2016, and what once was thought of as a temporary nature water right has gone on an awful long time, and that's not what we thought we were getting when you issued those temporary nature. So I mean, that's I'm just trying to put the issue together for you. I know that this committee, some legal, has done some research, and in some other states, I think they have some statutes that put a time certain on these temporary nature rights where after 10 years, 15 years. I don't know what the time frame is. I didn't do the research. But then those water right permits get looked at again, and you go through a process to see whether or not they get renewed. So I'm not sure if that's what you were looking for, Mr. Chairman, just to kind of...
The basic concept. And I think the perception has been, or right or wrong, has been that some of these have been technically, the T disappears, they've been perfected over years and, changed from a temporary right to a perfected water right, and whether they've gone through the formal process. And I think that's where the questions are coming.
Mr. Chairman, if I also may respond to that. Right. And please don't get me wrong. So when these applications were filed in 1985, it wasn't like they were rubber stamped. They went through all the same statutory procedures. They were published. They were protested. Hearings were held. They went through the full blown analysis. It had to meet the criteria. Otherwise, we would have never issued them to begin with. With the exception, I mean, in terms of conflicting with existing rights, domestic wells, public interest. But truly, that is the issue, is that they're issued thinking that at some point in time that mine would be in reclamation and those water rights would go away. And that time is extended longer in some cases than initially thought of.
But in your mind, they are still temporary in nature?
Yes.
And you don't believe there's ever any been perfected, actually changed?
Jason King, for the record, and just like every question dealing with water law, there's no yes or no answer. We have issued permits, probably I would guess 90% of those temporary in nature, with a temporary in nature permit term, basically saying that any time someone tries to change those off, if a mine tries to change them off, they will be subject to additional scrutiny, I'm paraphrasing. But generally speaking, we viewed it as those water rights go away. Because when we analyze committed resources versus perennial yield, we have typically taken those off the books as going away, and those aren't a firm right that would be there in perpetuity. There are some mining and milling rights out there that I'm sure we have issued without those temporary nature permit terms, where a mine would probably have an argument that there's not that permit term, and even though it's for a mining process, they're not temporary in nature. Probably two more information than you care to hear, but I'm just trying to give you the entire story.
Okay, and again, like I say, in my mind, and of course I was with the Humboldt River Basin Authority when we formed in the late 80s, early 90s, and, we dealt with a lot of these mine dewatering issues, and of course the printouts that came, there were a number of permits there that had T's on them, and then over the years they just seemed like the T's gradually disappeared. And maybe it's just a bookkeeping.
Jason King, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to confuse temporary changes that are filed off of mining and milling rights versus temporary in nature rights.
Right.
Okay, so at the beginning of a mine, we may have issued a water right to a mine, for 10,000 acre feet. But throughout the year, they have to move wells around for dewatering,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
And so every year they have to file a bunch of temporaries with a T,
right,
as a suffix on the application. So
right.
So we still get those too. I just don't want to confuse the one-year temporaries with the temporary in nature water right we issued to a mine at the beginning of the mining operation.
I think that clarification helps.
Yeah, that's fine. Just wondering, what does the mining industry have to say about this particular BDR request?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Ford, for the record, Dylan Shaver with the Nevada Mining Association. I think everybody on this committee is aware that we are committed to maintain a partnership with the state in developing sound public policy. There have been areas over the years ranging from taxes to water to air quality to wildlife where we have come to the table to find some sort of sensible common ground solution, and we're committed to that with you. This is an area, however, that we cannot find any wiggle room on our end to put, just using the example on your work session document, a five-year renewal period on a temporary water right basically puts the state in the position to close down a mining operation every 5 years. Now, that obviously has workforce implications for us. It has fundraising and capital implications implications for us and has project implications for us. Keep in mind, a mine takes between 7 to 10 years to permit right now. And to go through that whole process, get permitted, build out your mine, and just about the time you start producing ore, the state is in a position then to shut it down. Now, we do not believe that would be Mr. King or any of his successors' intent. Nevertheless, it puts us in a precarious position from a business perspective, and that's just one that we cannot support. It is important that also that we keep in mind that for those mines that maybe were issued a temporary permit in the 1980s for a 10-year life of mine, and here we are 30 years later, they're still mining. There is still a beneficial use to that water right, and there is still benefit accruing to the state from that operation.
Okay. All right. I just need to hear that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Any other questions? Ms. Carlton? Mr. Oscarson? Anything you'd like to add, Mr. King, to that? You agree? It's, you know, some of these just went on longer than we thought. And those of us out in the rurals are grateful to have the employment in the mine there. I know we'll deal with the resolution in 20 on the Humboldt in the next agenda item, and those are the people that aren't real happy with where we're at. So, okay, thank you. So I guess, committee, you're more than willing to see where that list ends up, and let's take a long, hard look at 20. Ms. Keller?
The final recommendation for a subcommittee consideration is to draft a resolution to require a long-term analysis of the Humboldt River Basin, including effects of mine dewatering, filling of pit lakes, and pit lake evaporation, and require that mine dewatering be included in calculation of basin budget. This recommendation combines concepts received from Great Basin Research Watch, the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, and the Pershing County Water Conservation District at the Winnemucca meeting.
Yes, thank you. Let's see. I don't know. Alan, do you want to come forward on this? You're named as a representative, but again, I don't think there's any real problem with Nevada Mining. Great Basin Resource Watch? Yes. It's not us. But anyway, I don't think anybody on this committee has a real, Jason, you want to, you know, we know you've got the water meeting program in place. That's about 4 years out. You know, I think we all agree whether we're talking, you know, conjunctive use. You can use whatever you want. I mean, there are issues in the Humboldt we're going to have to deal with. And I, you know, again, when we talk a resolution, it's more to me maybe a position paper or recommendation out of this committee. There's no real BDR to be brought forward, no statutory change. But clearly there are a number of issues in the Humboldt that were not only mining related, but up and down the avenue that we're going to have to address. And, you know, I talked to some people over the last, even in, you know, Rye Patch, it looked like the river flowed well. It looked like we had a ton of water. Ended up only delivering a foot, you know. I mean, that's scary. There was better flows in the upper Humboldt. So, again, these are issues we're going to have to deal with, and I think they clearly, you know, a long-term analysis on the basin, but the long-term, I don't know if we can stand over 4 or 5 years. And I think your metering program is geared at 4, correct?
Jason King, for the record. Well, the meeting program is in perpetuity, but I think you're asking about our pursuit of a capture model to look at those interactions between surface water and groundwater and potential depletions to the river. So this item number 20, what is being framed here as work to do, is exactly what our office is doing moving forward. Like I said, we're working with USGS and DRI. We formed a working group to start putting a management framework to that capture model once we get the results from that. And well, now it's only 3 years about. So we are pursuing this very issue.
Okay. And then I guess the one thing that does kind of strike me as out of place here and require that mine dewatering be included in calculations of the basin budget. Again, just exactly what dewatering plan are they looking at that they're going to incorporate it in the basin budget?
Jason King, to require that mine dewatering be included in calculation of basin budget, I think that could be read a few different ways, and I'm not sure what was meant by that. If they're talking about pit evaporation, as Mr. Biaggi spoke about a little bit earlier, we are very close to coming up with a policy in moving forward to account for that, that will be as part of the water budget in those basins. I do also want to say it's not just pit evaporation. It's a statewide open body of water issue. So it's not just hammering on the mining association. It's statewide. Any case, so if they're talking about mine dewatering being pit evaporation being included in the water budget, yes, it is. It's going to be included.
Yeah, and I assume that maybe, you know, there's a portion that is consumptively used in the operation itself. I mean, why that's already included in the budget. You know, the other, I was struggling to see what they were talking about. Mr. Biaggi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Alan Biaggi, once again, on behalf of the Nevada Mining Association. I think the association and its members want to be completely transparent and have no problems being included in the capture zone analysis that is being conducted by Mr. King's office. We're participating in his technical committee along with local governments and other industry and agriculture, and we look forward to the analysis and the evaluation. We don't believe that mining is causing a problem to the flows of the Humboldt River. The David Prudick report out of UNR and USGS bears that out, and we want to have a transparent and open process.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the committee? For either one of these. All right, thank you, gentlemen. We got through it. We got with that. That concludes our work session, I believe. Ms. Keller, Heidi, you're good. And again, it's the chair's intent that we'll go ahead and have staff and legal kind of work these BDRs in that language, and to the extent we can, and then I will circulate it back out to the committee. Back out to the members, technically, and if you have any problems, so then we'll see if we can get them rolling and working through. Thank you, sir. And it is 4 o'clock. I'm going to call for public comment. I want the public to be aware, and again, we're not, I no disrespect by the committee members, but they might have to leave here shortly to catch their prospective flights, but I will be here. So with that, I'll call for public comment. If we got any public comment in Las Vegas. I don't see anybody coming forward, so please fill the chairs here. Please proceed.
My name's Elizabeth McClure. I live in Lyon County. There are two glaring things to me. In 2B, there's no provision for landscape. And there are a lot of people here today who were worried about the landscape part for shade, for soil erosion, for transpiration, and for fire suppression. I think those need to be thought about and included. In number two, four, it's talking about a date of possession. Is it date of possession by the current owner, date of possession by the original owner? Who's the date of possession by whom?
Third, and again, we usually don't do this in public comment, but we didn't act on 2-4, so, you know. So.
Okay, but I'm saying these are things that people brought up that we need to need to be emphasized. Okay. I still, in listening to the comments that were made.
Right.
Pardon?
Go ahead. I said right.
I am concerned about going from 2 acre feet thoughts to a half an acre. That seems like a really drastic drop, and I would like that revisited if possible. And I would like to know why the focus on domestic wells when they're one of the smallest users, and somebody tried to answer that, but I didn't buy it. We need to address the large water users. I realize that irrigation and mines are very, very important to the state and to us, but there still are things that they could do. And maybe it would take like a tax incentive or
something that says, it was just last week that I drove down Highway 50 and watched a farmer watering, overhead watering. It was over 100 degrees outside, and it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If I have to lose some of my water, I want to be able to at least water the trees that are shading my house. That's energy conservation. There's more to water than just drinking and all that. There's energy conservation things that need to be looked at, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And again, I want to make sure everyone understands that this will now move to the legislature and these BDRs, and this will go through a very extensive process in the spring. But your notes are, we'll incorporate them here into your comments that, when you talk about outdoor watering of pets and livestock, you're also saying maintenance of your landscape. You're sure? Yeah. Just yes. Quick. Okay.
Quick. Okay. I understand that, but I believe that this committee has worked really, really hard and that the legislature will take a whole lot and pay a whole lot of attention, to what you have to say. So I think that those thoughts need to be incorporated in what you present to the legislature so that you don't have to have hundreds and hundreds of people leaving their jobs, et cetera, again. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
Marty Perry, Silver Springs. NRS 533025 says that water belongs to the public. Goes back to the appurtenance to a property for a domestic well. We have the right to the water, not a water right. There's a lot of confusion with people for that. And then Ms. Carlson mentioned a subsistence level. What determines that, a subsistence level of water? Who determines it? How do you calculate it? Do I get a different level than my neighbor? So
we'll look at that in the BDR language.
Okay. Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Joshua Childs. I'm also from Silver Springs, and I would like to thank you for a second public comment and also for clarifying with the state engineers to the 2 acre feet versus 0.5 acre feet during severe conditions. And I would also like to address 2B as well. I know that you just clarified that it would not just go to animals when this goes to legislation, but also if it could be included for people to have for their gardens specifically as well as their outside animals. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you
for your time.
Mr. Gallagher.
Jim Gallagher, farmer in Diamond Valley, fully senior water right holder. And if we don't get our groundwater management plan in place, and the state engineer takes 150 circles away from the 200 that we have, the other 50 circles are not going to be worth a damn in less than 10 years because of rodents and weeds coming out of those 150 abandoned fields. So I would like to ask that you give us as many tools as we can use to make a groundwater management plan. I know some of them are very different than what state law is currently, but I think we need as many tools as we can get to save our valley. It's a very unique valley, makes hay that goes around the world, and I think that we need to save our valley. And so give us as many tools as you can.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Michelle Austin, Silver Springs. Just a couple of quick comments. On the critical zone that we talked about, the tiering and stuff like that for the future, we talked about possibly that's when the half acre would go into effect, the half acre foot. How is that also going to affect commercial and people on town water? Or is that just for people on domestic wells that will get penalized in the critical zone while people in town and restaurants and casinos, they get to carry on like there is no critical zone? The other item I have is Lyon County is a very huge county. It has the potential to be as large as Las Vegas. And it's a very slippery slope and how that gets balanced between growing and making sure that everybody gets their rights and their water and everybody has the reason to live on the same level. So that just needs to be in account. And then on the comment about how that you never had that many people to your Second Amendments, if the public was notified, you would fill the rooms. You really would. So in the future, it would be nice if somehow it could be publicized on the news or in the papers about things that really affect, like the Second Amendment, the water rights, things like that. Then you would have more public opinions. Thank you.
Thank you. I can only say make sure you track the legislative website as we go into the session, because these will be coming forward. You will be able to see what BDRs they are probably in 60 days or so, and be sure to track them. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm working at the moment in your sister state, California, and there's been an important legal breakthrough in thought as you wrestle with these amongst the issues. And they've come up with the idea that rather than curtailing rights, you can actually superimpose a second layer on top. So you leave the existing rights in place and put another control system on top. That might sound actually academic, but in American law, it's a very, very important difference. So rather than talking about curtailing, you can talk about superimposing another system on top. And I think it's worth your while looking very carefully at the thinking that's now starting to emerge in that state and changing the language. And I leave it with you as a thought to explore.
And again, Dr. Young, you said that's California?
That's right, yes, okay. In California. And through their actually sustainable ground actually water management legislation, they're in exactly the same actually situation as you've find at the moment in places like the Diamond Valley, where they're wrestling with the fact there is serious overuse, serious depletion, serious subsidence occurring, and they're searching for a way to test and trial actually alternative ways actually forward, that are forward. And at the moment, the thing that stands out is the community is trying to change quickly.
And I think, you know, to everyone here, you know, as we move forward and groundwater management plans, I think they're going to be an everyday occurrence as we move forward. Again, these water plants have to come from the ground up.
Totally agree.
Thank you. Ms. Lynn.
Good afternoon, and thank you for additional public comment this afternoon. I just wanted to remind you of this map that the state engineer provided you at the first meeting, which shows that there are 53 basins at 200% or more, and then there are another 138 basins that are at 90% of their perennial yield. That's way more than half the basins, and I guess I'm concerned because I don't see too much activity towards seriously looking at those basins before they become the 200%, the 150%, the 300%. So that is my concern, and I will leave it at that. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Ms. Lynn, and I think we are concerned. It's just unfortunately we took the lead, which is the 56 basins, but we're just trying to get there. So thank you so much. Mr. Lister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be real brief. I'm going to exercise my ignorance. Somewhere back in the history books in there that I can't find anymore, I seem to remember a hierarchy of water rights, different statuses of different types of rights. And in this discussion with private well owners, now that a right has been created, where do they fit in that hierarchy of rights? And I don't know the answer, and I pose that to you because I'll assume that you do, or someone will guide you to the answer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I assume you're talking about a classification of the manner of use, whether they're quasi-municipal, if that's a higher manner of use, than say, or commercial, than say, ag. Is that where you're headed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I don't have the answer. Technically, we're all treated the same, right?
Mr. Chairman, Mark Moyle from Eureka, Diamond Valley. I want to commend, it's really, I've been here, coming up here for 15 years or so, interacting with different water issues, and it's really encouraging to me to see the questions we got back there and from people like you were so far off track, they didn't have a clue what we were talking about. You guys are all very dialed in and paying attention and being very proactive about dealing with these issues, and I want to hand it to you for that. Now, what you're dealing with is very difficult, but I want to make a little reference to what we're asking for in Diamond Valley with this specific legislation pertains to critical management areas. Critical management areas is a tool that the state engineer has to deal with critical management of water in a specific area, which broad-based water law makes very difficult. So when you're looking at those issues, please keep in mind that they are for a critical management area. I'm sure there's going to be more critical management areas. They'll have to be dealt with differently and individually, and it's very good to get that feedback and that how you deal with that water from the local people in that very area, because every instance is different. What we do in Diamond Valley will be very different than other valleys may do. So please give us those tools to do that. And I really have to hand it to the fact that even Mr. Gogachia brought forth the critical management legislation in the beginning, and I thought when he did, he was out of his mind. And here we are a few years later, and it's the tool that will probably get us down the road, all of us, to a lot of our water problems. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark. Go ahead, sir.
Robert Clute, for the record. I just want to reiterate what he said, and I kind of stole the thunder there. It was just that in one area, maybe flow on water, don't punish the areas that have plenty of water. And that's all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for being here and all the people that are behind me. My name is Roger Elliott. I'm from Fallon, Nevada. We've had a lot of wells go dry. Everybody knows that. And it's cost a lot of money to get them replenished. The problem is overdevelopment. I'm a long-time boy there. I went to school there. And I have seen nothing but growth. It's got to stop. We live in a desert. We had ponds below Swingle Bench that are dried up now. That's part of the flyway. Nobody said anything about the ducks. We used to have the best flyway in the country. We don't have that anymore. They drained our lake this year, Lahontan, all the way out to the flats out there at the Stillwater Refuge. They didn't have any water out there. There's no place for those ducks and geese to come through. So the problem of it is when you have overgrowth and you get that many straws sucking out of the ground, wells, you've got a problem. And this is, and I was lucky. My recovery rate in my well was real slow. But the irrigation helps. That's what we thrive on in Fallon. So there was comments made earlier today about we need to block the water up in the rivers. No, that's our lifeblood. That Truckee and that Carson River forms the Truckee Canal that comes down there to, and the Truckee River that comes down to the Fallon, and that's what we need. We need that water for our lifeblood, for our wells. And everybody that I've talked to, because I went around and we had a whole bunch of petitions signed just for you people to look at. Those people that I talked to said, boy, my well's doing better now. And it is doing better now. But Lahontan is drained now because of the water that's being taken. So we don't want to block up any of the water coming down off of that mountain. And I'm talking about Tahoe. That is our lifeblood. Okay? I appreciate your time. Maybe you can, I could add a little bit extra, you know, into the mix here. Hopefully I did.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments? Seeing none in Las Vegas, I don't think we have any more overflow rooms. We don't have to schedule another meeting. Is everyone good?
We're all good.
Already do, yeah. I think we get together. I don't know what. It's not very long. Yeah, there'll be some more interviews. I did miss you at ISC. You sit on ISC, you know?
Yeah.
But you weren't there, so.
My son had orientation that day at school.
Oh, okay. All right. With that, I'd like to thank all the people that came today and your patience. I know it was a very long morning, but into the afternoon. And to Mr. King and staff, we want to thank you as well. Steve, Susan, Diamond Valley Farmers, we really appreciate it. And as you guys head east, make sure you sweep the road for Highway Patrol because I'll be right behind you. So. All right. Thank you all. This meeting is adjourned.